talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
3, 2, 1. Transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake.
Hello. You know what? That's why. The idiot had the wrong mic on. That idiot would be me. If anybody has a tape of this show, destroy it. I will maim the person who lets Kevin and Bean have that.
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
I was in the Mekong Delta, calling in airstrikes and breathing napalm while you were swimming around in your daddy's ball sack.
That's just not good.
I need a burrito.
What the hell is going on here?
And now...
You ever try the Cleveland Steamer? It's awesome.
Our feature presentation.
It's not the way you want to start.
Do you guys remember that guy, Doc, who used to do news on our show?
Yeah,
I guess he died, what, about 10 years ago or something like that? But we worked with him for a long time. He was crazy.
He's still here.
Yeah. Not dead.
Still doing
really?
The news, yeah.
Not as far as we can tell.
I haven't seen, heard, or thought about him in at least 10 years.
Yeah, well.
He's still on the show?
That? He is, yeah. Turns out.
This is like, I watched Office Space again over the weekend, and poor Milton, is nobody even knows that he still works there anymore. He just shows up every day. It's what Doc is like. He just shows up, and we hear rumors from time to time that he's been cited.
He
but no one ever sees him or talks to him.
He does the news.
That not on the air.
That happens.
Not on the air, though.
Yes, on the air.
Not where people can hear. They're not letting that happen.
Only on our show.
Yep.
Well, only on might as well let Muhammad Ali box then, as far as I'm concerned, if that's the way it's going to be.
I'm with you.
If you're just going to let a guy keep doing it because he used to do it back in the war days, then that's the way we're rolling, I guess.
Open wide for Chunky.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
So,
Psycho Mike. Gay males may have genitoanal warts.
What?
Psycho Mike has a band called Murder on the 405,
right?
And they had a gig last night. Mm-hmm. And Mike, I guess you're at the point now where you're going to have to start deciding whether you're seriously going to bang Audrina or not. I mean, it sounds like she probably wants it, right?
Audrina?
Yeah.
She at your gig?
She was.
Saucer eyes? Ceiling eyes? Is
she
that
was.
What you call it?
It was like, Lisa May, you hit it right on the nose. You couldn't tell whether she was into it or not because she's staring at the ceiling the entire time.
She can't help it.
But... it didn't really matter because I was staring at her cans the entire time.
Right.
Because
well,
I'm on top
that.
Of a stage with that angle down towards her shirt that was, you know, looked like postage stamps. And so that was solid.
They were calling to you,
yeah,
were they?
They were beckoning to me.
So what's the deal there? Does she know somebody at that either at that club or in your band or somebody else who was on the bill that night? Or why was she there?
Well, it was at Sly Bar in Fullerton. And she knows the ownership there, and then she also knows a lot of K-Rock people, too, that were, you know, kind of...
Kevin and Bean people, you mean?
Well, no, not really, unfortunately. Promotions people.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. But knowing what I know about Audrina, she loves the boys, and she's, of course, from the Hills. Audrina Patridge, we're talking about, from the Hills. And, you know, she's at the gig. She's got to be looking at you thinking, maybe, right?
I don't know.
How was it?
She was surrounded by...
Did you close?
No, I didn't.
Come
I didn't
on.
Close.
Don't you have to just for the sake of...
I think you do.
I mean, look, if there was the opening,
right.
No pun intended, I'd do it, yeah.
You mean we don't even know if there is one?
For an obligation to
how
the
does
show.
She pee?
Yeah. It's like a Barbie doll, you guys.
It's weird.
Something. Yeah, that's the answer, is that you would have to do it just for the show. You would just have to
right.
Take
yeah.
a bullet.
Yeah. I agree.
And you'd explain to Jenny that we insisted. It wasn't that you wanted to cheat on her. We told you were fired if you didn't close.
It had nothing to do with desire, honey. It was all
exactly.
about
right.
the show bit. Yeah.
Right.
I think she's got to be terrible, too, by the way, unfortunately.
Well, if she never looks at you, is she still staring at the ceiling?
Well, what if you can't good. Tell? You know? You
I
don't know.
Know.
If you don't know, you might as well take for granted she's having a good time.
Is that what you do?
Sure.
That is true. It's like having a conversation with Dwan where you don't really know if he's listening or cares at all with what you're saying.
Yes.
You just hope for the best.
Right. Well,
I'm used
that.
To women staring at the ceiling when I'm talking to them.
Yeah,
but
well.
They have a choice. Audrina doesn't seem to.
No, that's her permanent look. If you want to make eye contact, you have to climb up on the ceiling.
Exactly.
Look down.
Well, Psycho Mike, keep us posted if she shows up at your next gig. Then I think you're onto something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, if a trend starts, I'm going to have to do what has to be done.
Well, you're a member of the band. You know, those guys, they always have an edge, right?
That's right. You got to do what you got to do.
Sure.
That's why you get in the band, right?
Yeah. That is 100. If you can't play
sure not their music.
Can't play football, got to pick up a guitar.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, let's take a look at this. New day, new week, new prize. And for you, it's a pair of 3-day passes to Caged Inc., which is coming to the Fairplex in Pomona this weekend. For the first time ever under one roof, Caged Inc. takes over the Pomona Fairplex with a huge tattoo expo. That's what's going on, with all sorts of world-renowned artists and a Battle of the Bands competition, skateboarding, BMX demos. Sounds like a pretty cool event. That's what you get for being on the air at 1-800-520-1067.
Let's start with Cole this morning. Hi, Cole.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What did you, baby boo?
Hi.
I wanted to see if you guys watched the WC fight last night.
Here's why I'm lame. I couldn't find it.
What?
I couldn't find it at first either. But yeah. It's like on 600 and something.
Yeah, it was on Versus, which is a channel that I go to a lot for hockey. But I just
never crossed your mind.
I typed in, you know, WEC. I typed in Tor. I just typed in everything I could find. I was like, I thought that fight was today. Wow. So what happened?
Miguel Torres got knocked out.
Oh no, you're kidding.
No, he got knocked out brutally in the first round.
Wow.
I'm ready for people to start trying to bring back the Kevin Amin curse, which clearly doesn't exist, because we had Miguel Torres on last week, and he got killed. We had Forrest Griffin on last week, and he got killed. So somehow we're going to be to blame.
Oh, the curse is back.
Yeah. Way to bring that on yourself, Bean. Nicely done.
No one thought about it.
Yeah, Forrest Griffin got beat like a little girl. And I mean... I've rarely seen anything like that, especially when it comes from him.
Look, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I was not impressed with his confidence level when we spoke with him last week. Well, he could. Who knows? I don't know if I could beat him or not. I mean, that was the kind of talk he was giving us on the air, remember?
Yeah, but he's always been that way. He's always been just kind of like, doesn't care.
Right.
Doesn't know, going to do his best, but at least he puts up a fight.
It's
unbelievable. I don't know.
Anderson Silva is the new Mike Tyson in the sense that he is the biggest, most intimidating badass in the world and has the gayest, flimsiest voice ever.
He does.
After the fight, I love Brazil! I love the fans! And you're like, wait a second, that guy's the baddest guy ever?
Yeah, he wasn't even putting his hands up for defense. He was just screwing around with... And Forrest Griffin is not somebody that you should screw around with, but he just didn't have any trouble at all. That was rough. All right, let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
What it do, party people?
What it do?
What it do?
What's going on, Lisa?
Hi.
All right, this sounds like total BS, but I was watching 60 Minutes last night randomly, and apparently doctors have figured out how to let people who are, like, paralyzed with Lou Gehrig's disease and who have had strokes to use computers with only their minds.
They can control a computer with only their minds.
I watched like about 10 minutes of this, like in amazement. Basically, like there was a woman who had a stroke and, you know, they can't talk, they can't move, they're in a wheelchair.
Right.
And she has a plug stuck in the top of her head like she's from the damn Matrix. And they hook a cord up to her head to a computer.
Are you kidding?
And she's controlling the cursor on the computer by only using her mind.
Well, that seems more than impressive.
I had heard of this. It's amazing.
I saw a guy over the weekend in G.I. Joe was flying a plane, and he fired weapons with his mind.
I think that was just a movie, though.
There was a person with ALS who actually did that, too. It was pretty crazy.
I'd seen this story before, too. They aired it, I think, in November it aired originally. But they ran it again last night. And it is unbelievable. I mean, the correspondent for 60 Minutes sits down. They put the thing on his head. And then they show a screen. And he thinks – it's got the alphabet on a screen. And each letter is lighting up. And when it passes the letter that he wants, he thinks, stop there. And it does.
Right.
And he spells out words on the screen with his mind just by thinking about the letter that lights up on the screen in front of him.
Wow,
that's pretty crazy.
We're all gonna die.
Yeah,
but then we'll be able to type.
And the last thing I'll say about this is one of the experiments that they're doing with monkeys is they have monkeys moving artificial limbs with their minds. Like
monkeys?
The monkeys can't.
Let's not teach them that.
I know, right? That's the last thing we need, is to give them more power. So the monkey can't use his own arms, but he is willing an artificial hand to be able to pick up food and to be able to peel a banana and do whatever he wants, just with his mind.
And to kill humans?
I mean, you think about where that technology could be in 100 years, and it doesn't seem like there's any reason why a paralyzed person can't walk, you know, because you can make you can make something around you do anything you think.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's the future, I'll tell you.
All right, let's go to John. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What'd it do? Hey, I wanted to tell you guys about a midget grabbing my ass over the weekend.
All right, now. Now you're getting somewhere. Now we got a party.
Yeah. I was in a bar in Salt Lake and leaning over playing a game of pool and felt somebody grab my butt. And I looked around, and there was this guy standing behind me looking at me like, what? So I went back, played my game of pool, and felt my butt getting grabbed again. I was like, what the hell? Turned around, looked down, and I about jumped up on the table. It scared me half to death.
Why was he grabbing your ass?
No, it was a little midget girl grabbing my butt.
Oh, midget girl. Oh.
Oh.
All right.
Interesting.
Take her home?
No, it was kind of a little too carnival for me. Mm.
Was she a spinner?
Carnival.
He doesn't know. He didn't try her out. It's too carnival.
It seems like you could get rid of a little midget ass grabber with a well-timed fart.
Well, you probably could.
But, wow.
I just got in there, just didn't have the beer farts yet. So.
Yeah, I understand. All
gotcha.
Right. Well, that's a party. Like Kevin said, now you got something.
Now you know things are going well. And finally, let's go to Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
Bell, please. Thank you. Magic happened over the weekend. I'm not sure if you heard about it, but the roast of Joan Rivers, Comedy Central.
I saw that last night, yes.
Yep. Straight magic.
Was it great?
It was straight magic?
It was straight magic.
Yeah.
It was magical. It was a long time in the making.
Yeah. They were too
respectful. Was it good, Kevin?
They were too respectful for my taste.
Oh, really?
Yes. All of the comedians, even though they would, you know, make fun of her because that's what a roast is, they would always end up with, you're a trailblazer, you know, everybody looks up to you, you're one of the funniest comedians ever. It was way too much
of
that.
Well, how was she?
She was good. She had a couple of jokes.
You didn't think it was the way Jeffrey Ross
built
it up?
No.
She didn't slay them
all. I brought in some highlights.
Okay.
Some highlights I can't put on the air, but some... It is fun to see people, though, don't you think, Bobby, say things that don't normally get said in public?
Absolutely.
Because it's just not the correct PC thing to say.
Right.
So
she is old, she has an old heart, so, you know, they kind of had to, you know, make sure she didn't die on the show.
I guess. Yeah, I would have liked that. I think that would have been a good ending.
I think the world would have liked that, too.
Donald, this is going to surprise you, Bean, but I believe Donald Trump may have had the line of the night.
No kidding.
So I brought in highlights of that. That fine show.
I wonder who wrote it for him.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't possibly have been him. All right, let's talk about the rest of the show today. We have a singles party today.
How about that?
Oh, that's all right.
We are going to start giving away tickets this morning just after 6 in about a half hour. We're going to start giving away tickets to our singles party. This is a way to get single people together that are Kevin and Bean fans. And at least you know you have that and music kind of in common with each other. And everybody there is single. So we are going to have a singles party and we'll start giving away tickets in a half hour. Can join us this Friday night, as a matter of fact. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. We have a listener who wants a donkey and a midget at his wedding.
Sure.
So we're going to help him accomplish that.
It's our people.
Mm-hmm.
Why get married if you can't have a donkey and a midget at the ceremony?
We're going to talk to the director and the star of District 9, a movie which I'm very excited to see.
Yeah.
Can't wait. We have NFL Fantasy Super Draft on today's show. I think I was just going to say, I think we're just grasping at any opportunity to talk about the NFL at the beginning of the season.
I know you are. You're desperate.
Well, I would agree with you, except that football started yesterday. It was on television last night. So, I mean, it's time. It's here.
That's what
last
I'm talking
about. Last night was the Hall of Fame game was last night. I watched some of that. It was weird not having John Madden on, I'll tell you that.
Yep. Best announcer ever. You agree, huh?
I was delighted that he was gone. I'm just saying it was weird.
And we have the grand prize for the K-Rock Road Trip. I know that we've been doing this for about 4 weeks now. We've been telling you can get a brand new smart car and a year's full of gas. We're going to give that away today.
Ah, awesome.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 551.
Not a lot of songs from the 70s have survived on the Kevin and Bean Show like that one has.
That's correct.
It's an unusual way to start
Disco Inferno.
We still play that one.
There's Cisco Inferno. Maybe it's that one, yeah. All right, it's a Monday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on, Ralph?
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office so you know what America was watching while you were bong deep in your weekend. G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra, in its debut, made over $56 million, making it number one by far. Kevin, you saw it this weekend?
Loved it.
I saw it last week.
Loved it.
Fun movie. Isn't it a fun movie? It's a good popcorn actioner.
Maybe more action than any movie I've ever seen in my life.
And more sort of intense, suspenseful action. It wasn't just gratuitous, I found.
And Rachel Nichols and Sierra Miller.
Sienna Miller, sorry.
Sierra
Miller, her sister's good, too. But Sienna, the one that was in the movie, I really like.
That was something. That was really good. I liked it.
Me, too. I really enjoyed
it. Here's a clip from that movie.
It does sound good.
Kevin saw a version where people were shooting weapons with their minds. I didn't see that one, but I'm looking to go back to the theater to see the new improved version. Exactly when in the movie were people shooting weapons with their minds, Kevin?
Well, the
you
guy
said this morning during
the guy that was flying the plane, the Wayans brother,
right?
After I thought about it, I thought, no, he didn't do it with his mind. He actually had to speak.
It was voice activated.
But he thought
maybe
it was mind controlled. That's where I got that from.
Right, but it was not.
Okay, all right.
It was voice control. He had to say a word in Celtic.
Right.
In order to get
those
weapons
to fire. Well, that was the end result.
Right.
But before that...
But at what point did he fire them with his mind, I was wondering.
He didn't technically.
As I heard you this morning.
I may have misspoke.
Okay, just want to double check.
Yeah.
Julie and Julia, Kevin.
Yes.
Was number two at the box office this weekend. Made $20
million. I got a lot of people who are really angry at me on Friday.
Well, you know, if you don't like a movie, they can't go.
Right.
That's the way the world works.
Come on now.
Well, he didn't even see the movie.
Who cares?
Filled with hate.
But here's,
he's allowed to hate it.
Without any knowledge.
Welcome to my world, by the way, Kevin.
Yeah, this is really bizarre.
Every week I get these angry emails from people.
Who cares?
How could you not like that? Why didn't you recommend that?
How could anyone care that I don't like it?
Just go. Enjoy it. G-Force was number three at the box office. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince came in at number four. Funny People was five. The Ugly Truth was sixth. A Perfect Getaway came in at number seven. Aliens in the Attic, The Orphan, and 500 Days of Summer, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Hi, I'm Billy Mays for cocaine.
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
I don't know if you saw the Florida Medical Examiner's autopsy report this weekend, but they released a statement saying that Billy Mays had a cornucopia, if you will, of drugs in his bloodstream upon the time of his death.
Oh, no kidding.
Including one of my personal favorites, cocaine.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You got to have drugs.
The statement read, cocaine caused or contributed to the development of his heart disease and thereby contributed to his death. They believe Billy died from a heart attack while sleeping, at least partially caused by cocaine. Also in his bloodstream was hydrocodone, oxycodone, tramadol, alprazolam, and diazepam.
What are all those? I don't even know.
Anti-anxiety drugs are like Xanax is diazepam and alprazolam is another anti-anxiety drug.
So he's doing coke and anti-anxiety drugs?
Yes, and also pain medications, hydrocodone, oxycodone, and dramadol.
Wow.
Reportedly prescribed for hip pain that he was experiencing, but they believe the cocaine was the catalyst that indeed caused his death. His family is refusing to believe the statement.
Yeah. They didn't know anything?
Isn't that science?
Sure, there's that, but the family says they're extremely disappointed by the release of the information because it contains speculative conclusions that are frankly unnecessary and tend to obscure the conclusion that Billy suffered from chronic untreated hypertension, which only demonstrates how important it is to regularly monitor one's health and to not do cocaine!
You think he would have been all laid back and quiet if he didn't do cocaine?
Hi, it's Billy Mays for OxyClean. You know, sometimes your clothes get dirty and you need something like a non-chlorine bleach to help get some of those stains out. I think OxyClean may be the one for you. Pick it up today. His family also said they don't believe the statement. They're going to have their own independent evaluation done because we were totally unaware of any non-prescription drug usage. Well, that's funny because usually when I'm going to do a big fat rail, I call everyone in my family and friends and let them know.
Rail time.
Hey. I'm in Vegas. I'll be up till dawn. Just want to keep you posted. Send tweet. Speaking of Twitter,
This Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore Twitter fixation. They need help.
Now what?
They need help. They were coming back from Vegas the other day, and apparently their plane had some difficulty.
Okay.
Lost an engine.
Oh.
Had to do an emergency landing. And immediately upon setting down, both Ashton and Demi whipped out their communication devices and started to tweet about the event.
Thank goodness. How would we have known?
That we wouldn't have known otherwise. So they let us know that they're fine. Apparently, Ashton tweeted that the amount of fire engines on the tarmac were good times. And Demi posted pictures commenting, it's always an adventure in Sin City. What if they'd been going down? We're going to die, so I just wanted to send everyone one last tweet. Boy, that ground's coming up pretty quick. Oh, oh, screaming, ah!
This isn't going to be good.
And 140 characters.
Well, you do complain when people tweet when they have nothing going on. At least there was some excitement happening. At least there was something for them to report.
Yeah, if I had a near-death experience and I was on the ground, I can think of 100 things I'd do first before I'd whip out and start tweeting. I don't know. Call my loved ones, you know, tell them I appreciate them in my life. I don't know. Go have a good stiff drink. There's a lot of things I might do.
Let them know I do cocaine.
Exactly. Let them know I was doing blow in Vegas. Congratulations to Elizabeth Hasselbeck of The View. She and former NFL quarterback husband Tim Hasselbeck had their third child this weekend, a boy named George Herbert Walker Hasselbeck.
That's a joke.
I'm kidding.
That's got to be a joke.
Isaiah Timothy is his name. They've already got two other kids, Cheney Hasselbeck and Hitler Hasselbeck.
I don't think that's true.
Congratulations on their third child.
Is Tim retired already, Ralph? Is he already done?
I don't know if he's retired, but no one particularly wants to hire him.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Forced retirement.
Yeah. Speaking of forced retirement, did you see my boy Vince Young last night?
Did not.
Who is predicting he will be the next black quarterback to win a Super Bowl, and he's guaranteed to go into the Hall of Fame?
Right.
Played in the Hall of Fame game last night. First pass of the first series. Oh, big fat pick. Big juicy pick. Yeah, he's not good.
That's not good.
He's struggling.
That's the last thing you want to do is open your mouth about making it into the Hall of Fame.
Yes. No
Given
kidding.
The last two seasons he has suffered through, you might want to pipe down.
I guess I didn't realize that that guy had owned the Buffalo Bills since they started, Ralph.
Ralph Wilson Jr.
Crazy profile on that dude last night.
Yeah, he was one of the original owners of the AFL.
Wow.
One of the original eight teams.
He could have moved out of Buffalo at any point.
He picked Buffalo. Gave him four different cities to choose from, and he picked Buffalo.
On purpose?
Yeah. Huh. Could have been in Cincinnati. Yeah, same thing. Mm. Speaking of football, congratulations to your fans of the St. Louis Rams. I hope you enjoy at the NFC West what I enjoyed in the NFC East, because Carrie Prejean, former Miss California,
yes,
is apparently dating Rams quarterback Kyle Bowler. So I'm hoping she has the same effect on Kyle that Jessica Simpson had on Tony Homo. So you might be looking forward to a good season this year, Rams fans.
Name's Romo.
Anything can happen.
God, you're dumb.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angie Harmon from Law & Order.
Yeah.
Remember her?
Mm-hmm.
37 years old today. Biv! Michael Bivins!
Yeah.
Of Belle, Biv, and DeVoe is 41 years old today. You know, every time I think of Biv, I think of his signed cup from Jamba Juice up on the wall there in Tarzana, right next to our own Kevin Ryder's signed cup on the wall there at the Jamba Juice. Yeah, it's right there.
That's
right
ridiculous.
Next to Belle Biv DeVoe,
you
see the big Kevin Ryder cup. It says, please enjoy my performance in Dead Reel or whatever that movie was. Excuse me. Antonio Banderas.
Hi.
Antonio Banderas is 49 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Antonio Banderas. And Rosanna Arquette celebrates her 50th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have a very exciting announcement for you.
We do. We have another singles party. It is happening this Friday night.
Ow!
At Bardo.
Mm-hmm.
Bardo.
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 Bardo, for those of you who don't know, is a smoking hot hip Hollywood night spot right now. It's like the place where all the in people go. It's where the paparazzi line the streets to get photos of Lindsay Lohan coming out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Two days ago, or whenever that was.
Yeah.
Interesting timing, because a place only gets to be hot in Hollywood for about, 9 months, and then they move on to someplace else?
Pretty unfortunately. Much, yeah.
And we never get in while it's hot.
Yeah, exactly. But right now, this is the place to be, and it's going to be this Friday night. They're gonna clear the place out, and it's only going to be for Kevin and Bean singles, which is crazy.
Amazing, yeah.
That they're letting us do that.
So you'll get to say, yeah, I was in Bardo last night.
Yeah, you know. It was down at Bardot.
Hanging out with Spidey.
Are we the ones at the door letting people in? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we're, you know, because when you go to these Hollywood night spots, they always have the velvet rope outside and they have the bouncer. And if you're not on the list, you don't get in.
Well, you try to convince them that you're on the list.
Sure. You say, yeah, my name's Zach Efron. Am I on the list? And look at you and, you know, you're a 40-year-old black dude. So we're going to have our own list. Everyone here on the show is going to get a list and we'll get to put you on the list. And then when you get to the front door, they're going to check your name and it'll be, you'll be on the list.
Hopefully. 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, what's your name?
I'm Charmaine.
Oh, Charmaine. Yeah, what's up?
I'm here to spread them.
Yeah, yeah, go right in, baby. Yeah, next.
Hey, I'm here for the Kevin and Bean singles party.
What'd you say your name was?
I'm Chad. My name's Chad.
Man, get the f*** out of here, you punk-ass bitch. Everybody listen up. If you want to spread them at Bordeaux with Kevin and Bean, you need to be on the list. All right, next.
What's going on there?
What has happened to Omar?
It's the Kevin and Bean players DJ right there. Omar Khan. Now, Spread is the fine sponsor of the Kevin and Bean singles party this Friday night. It's a new comedy starring Ashton Kutcher. I'm sure he will be tweeting about it.
Not a comedy. Comedy not included.
I guess
not a comedy. It's a drama.
It's not a comedy?
It's not a comedy. Oh. Comedy not included.
It is a comedy, though. They're saying it's a comedy. They're advertising it like a comedy.
It is not a comedy.
Okay. Apparently, Anne Heche is the beautiful older woman. It's in theaters on Friday. Go to spread-themovie.com. So they are sponsoring the party for us, and it's kind of appropriate that Ashton Kutcher, who's kind of a, you know, kind of a Hollywood player himself, would be involved in this party at this club this Friday night.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. All week long, we're going to give away tickets, and then Friday night, we're going to have a Kevin and Bean singles party. We're going to have DJ Omar Khan spinning, working the ones and twos.
And doing that voice, DJ Omar Khan.
And doing that voice, yeah. Letting people in or not?
What do you mean? I ain't going to let you in this club.
All right, Kingfish.
Kevin's going to go to hide and show up about halfway right. through the thing.
I'm in the club, Sally. We could not find.
That's why we put the name of the club in the title this year, so Kevin can't forget that it's the Spread 'Em at Bardot
Look,
singles party.
I may have gone to the wrong club last time.
You did. Not may have. You did go to the wrong club.
That may have happened. Maybe I did on purpose, but maybe I did on purpose.
I see.
That's what I'm saying.
You and your wacky sense of humor.
Yeah.
It does seem like for the singles parties, and I don't know if all parties are like this because I don't go to any other parties but ours. It does seem like people do show up ready to get the job done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they are, when they walk in the door, they know why they're there. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that for the most part, the people who show up at the party are single and are really just looking to hook up.
Sometimes they're too ready, though. I mean, sometimes they show up drunk. And then,
that is a problem.
Like, they get tossed, a half hour into the party.
Yeah.
Or they throw up in the bar.
Sure.
Which is a good sign, too.
That happens.
Yeah. So we're saying pace yourself. You're at a classy joint this time around. Not the VFW hall.
Remember who threw up on a bar last time? Our intern, Blinky.
Yes, Blinky. Right.
Remember when he's crawling around on the floor and we had him thrown out? And then he got back in and he was drinking again and we had him thrown out again?
Good times. Yeah, his wife was pleased that night,
too. She was very happy.
She was very happy with him.
I saw Blinky on Friday and he's like, I'm not going to do his voice. I'm not going to be there this time.
I'm not going to be there this time.
So anyway, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number if you'd like to go to the Kevin and Bean singles party.
This is guys and girls we're taking phone calls from,
That's
right?
correct.
Okay.
We have John, 24 years old, on the line. Hi, John.
Hey, John, Pia, how you guys doing? Lisa May.
Hi, John.
Nope.
Hey, hey, hey. I hope Lisa May's
going
to be at the singles party.
She
sure will be.
And why do you hope that? Are you trying to appeal to her to put you on her list?
All I know is that I'm a fun guy, and I'm good to be on anybody's list, really. Bean, put him on your list. Come on.
Bean, put him on your list. Come on.
Wow. Hey, listen, Lisa will be at the party Friday. Why don't you call next Monday and ask her how the party was?
Oh, wow.
Ouch.
Heartless. All right. Sorry, dude.
You didn't want to do that.
No, it's
Raphael. Hey, come on, Lisa. Put me on your list. It'd be great to be there.
It really is harder for guys to
That's
make
what
this.
She said.
Because if a girl had done that and sounded hot, she'd be in.
That's no true. Girl would have done that.
No girl sounds that dorky.
Didn't
come
he
on,
start by giving us his first and last name?
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
Hey.
Come on now. Take it easy.
All right. Look at the time. Bing bong. 6 o'clock in the big time hour here. It's 87 degrees outside. We're throwing you stacks of wax.
Raphael, 26. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Kevin and Bean, spread them at Bardot singles party.
Why should we put you on the list, Raphael?
Because I'm single, exaggerated, so I have some money to spend.
He's single and what?
I have money to spend.
He has money to spend.
You making drug deals on the side? What's going on with you?
No, not at all. I just graduated, so I'm single. I'm just living in my house.
Okay.
And just trying to find a lady so I can have some good time with.
All right. Oh. Oh, no. Darn it. Oh, I hate it when the phone drops like that.
Oh, poor Raphael.
His phone actually did drop, but that's cool. I'm good with it.
But see, like Lisa says, it's harder for guys. Like, what could he have done differently?
Well, he could have told us, I don't know, I graduated, right? So, okay, so now what are you doing? I don't know, just anything.
Yeah. Look, you have to have some basic conversational skills in order to pull off a singles party, right? I mean,
if I met you and that's all I could get out of you, then I would not be interested.
Yes, you would. He has cash to spend.
I have money to spend.
I guess if he pasted it all over himself.
Yeah, just graduated.
I think it's tough for people, especially when they're calling in, a little bit nervous.
It is tough.
And they're expecting us to ask questions. I don't think that they automatically assume that we want them to get on the phone and then just start telling us everything.
I'm not asking the math questions. It's about them. It's their lives. Right. They got to know what's going on.
Look, I don't care about Raphael, but I'm just saying because we're going to be taking calls all week. I think it's worth them knowing that if they call up and say, "Hey, I graduated," they think maybe that's all they need to say to get a conversation started, and that may be where the confusion was that time.
All right, okay. But next time that's the case, you can put them on your list. We all have a list.
That's right. Put them on your list. He may have been fine.
Put them on your list.
No, but I think B makes a point.
You put them on your list. Everyone's got a list this time. There's no fighting. We don't have to agree. Everyone can put someone on their own list. And when you run out of slots on your list, then you're out. You're bummed. You're done.
But we're going to keep track of who lets who in.
Hell yeah.
The problem is we have so many guys in the room. No one wants to put any guys on their list.
Hey, I'm not against guys. If the guy seems cool or fun, I would certainly put him on my list. We just haven't found one yet.
All right, let's try Tim, 24 years old. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
What's up?
Hey, what's up? Kevin Bean listening to everyone. Hey.
All right. Turn down your radio for starters. That's another good tip for everybody this week. That way you can hear us better.
It's turned down. All right.
What's going on?
Hey, I was going to work and I heard your singles party thing.
Right.
See what's going on.
Tell us a little about yourself, Tim.
And looks like I got through. Cool. Huh?
Tell us a little about yourself.
I'm a supervisor at an aluminum factory in L.A.
Okay.
I've been out of the Navy for about a year now, and got a good job, and been listening to you guys for a while.
How long were you in the Navy? 4 years?
Yeah. Submarines, baby.
Submarines? Wow.
Submarines, and we go deeper and we stay longer.
All right. Now we're talking.
That's close quarters with a lot of seamen, though, when you're in a submarine, though, right? Because you got the bunk beds and everything?
Hey, it's not gay underway. It's only clear by the pier.
You
know?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. All right. He's got some nifty sayings. It doesn't matter because Lisa already put him on her list.
He's on my list.
Already.
Congratulations, Tim. You're our first guy that's going to the Spread 'Em at Bardot singles party.
He said Navy, and she said on my list.
On my list.
Although we don't have time to get into it now, but maybe we will Friday night. I do like the way that he quit on our country after only 4 years, Lisa. I don't know why that doesn't bother you. He walked away. He just rolled over for the Taliban is what he just did.
Dude, that's 4 more years than you did.
I'm just saying. Spent four years in a submarine, by the way. Yeah. You've done your time.
I'd say you could move on from then.
Yeah.
He's ready to meet some ladies if he's been on a sub for 4 years.
Yep.
All right. Are we out of time for right now? I know we have more tickets throughout the week. Okay. That's cool.
All right. We got one guy.
We got one.
All right. Woo! That's going to be a small party.
Look, we have a lot to give away.
We got one booth at Bardot.
The whole key is that it has to be somebody, and we've thrown a lot of these singles parties where people just stand around with whoever they came with, and they just stand there and they don't talk to anybody. We go, what are you waiting for?
If you can be a little outgoing on the phone with us, you're certainly not going to be outgoing in a bunch of women in a club in Hollywood. You know,
right.
you have to know that you have what it takes to make that leap.
So we're not the ones to go by looks. So that's why we're not asking you what you look like. But you got to have a little personality so that you can talk to the other fairer sex.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a quick break and come right back with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes Harvey Levin and the staff over at TMZ.com and the TMZ television show are just working round the clock because there's so much going on. And then other times it's, hey, whatever happened to the guy from Flock of Seagulls? I mean, right now we're just in one of those times. Am I right, Harvey? Just not much happening.
Yeah, you know, it's not like a month ago, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I'm amazed that every single day there is still something new on what's going on with Michael Jackson. But I guess it's because there are, A, a lot of questions still up in the air. And there's also, B, all of his stuff and how people are going to continue to make money on him in his death that's being worked on right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's a big deal. You know, it's like death is death, but business is business. They are trying to figure out how to fuel this estate, and they've gone into court and they want to republish his book Moonwalk because there's a lot of heat for it. They think they can make a fortune off of it right now.
I don't even remember that book. Is it autobiography?
I vaguely remember it. It is, and you know, it came out, it went, but now everybody's interested again, especially in Europe. So they got the judge's permission last week to to market it. They got permission to market various forms of merchandise.
Who's they? The family?
The family, okay. Through the special administrators. And they also got permission to make the deal with Columbia to make a movie off of all of the rehearsal footage, which Columbia is going to do. So they're really kind of gunning right now to make money, as much money as they can, because this is the time to do it.
The thing that we're most interested in, I think, of what's left behind is all this unreleased music. I mean, I think at one point we heard there may have been as many as 200 songs or parts of songs. What happened to those? Who has those, Harvey, and what are the plans?
Well, that's a mystery. I mean, we ended up getting one song that we put up and got kind of a frantic call. How dare you call?
That was but, that was the horse with no name, Ben?
Yeah.
From 1950?
It was 1950.
Well, it was close. All right, go ahead. So they called you. So they called you and said, "How dare you play that?"
Yeah, well, they just didn't want it out.
Yeah.
But you know, there are a lot of songs, and nobody really knows exactly where they're. I'm not sure if they know if everybody knows yet where they all are. But there are songs there, and I think there's going to be a lot of money to be made off of Michael Jackson, and it really is very much parallel to Elvis Presley if they handle it right.
But one of the reports that I heard made it sound like, just like it happens with so many people, they die and the family swoops in and starts taking stuff out of a house. And one of the reports that I heard made it sound like some of those computers that might have had a lot of that music on it are missing now, or somebody took it and we don't know who, we don't know where. I mean, that's the type of thing you really want to have an eye on.
I mean, there are reports about, you know, I've heard them. It's hard for me to believe, given the circumstances of his death, that people were just, you know, first of all, remember, there were how many cameras outside of that house the second, you know, after he died?
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, police were in and out. The family was there. It's hard to believe somebody said, oh, yeah, it's just a computer. See ya. I mean, it's just very improbable that somebody could walk in unnoticed and start taking stuff like that. So I'm really skeptical about it.
Yeah, you're right. And there's, I mean, this case is more than any. There's so many rumors, too. Now, what's this this latest guy who stepped forward who says he may be the father of one of the children? Who's this guy, this godfather?
His name is Mark Lester, and he says, and as a matter of fact, he was on the Today Show as the godfather of all three kids. It seems like he is. He was the star. Remember, I don't know if you remember the movie Oliver. I think it was like in 1968. He was the star of that when he was a kid.
Okay.
So he lives in England right now. He has four kids. He says that Michael Jackson talked to him while Michael was married to Debbie Rowe and said, look, would you donate sperm? He gets a call from a London sperm bank. He obliges. And he says, although he's never had the discussion, which is what I find really weird about this, he says, Paris is eerily similar to his 15-year-old daughter, Harriet. So we put both of them up on the site. News of the World got an interview with this guy, and he says he well could be the father of Paris. And he's kind of like vaguely suggesting that he's going to now get involved in the custody fight because he says he's been shut out. So
how many people are going to, by the end of this,
I know,
by the end of the story, claim that, you know, I could have been the father too then?
Well, it's baloney because, you know, it doesn't matter. Michael Jackson is conclusively considered to be the father, even though he's not the biological father, because of the way the law works. So all of these people are making rumblings, and my guess is you'll see five people going into court by the time this is all over.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also so weird for me, and I don't understand a lot of crazy things that people do when it comes to making kids, but it seems weird to me that if you're going to hire some guy to give sperm and hire some woman to donate an egg, why not just adopt a kid? Why go out of your way and go to such extraordinary lengths to make a new baby?
Well, then you would be assuming something that is fundamentally flawed, which is that Michael Jackson did things the way that everybody else does.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You can't use reason when it comes to this.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to suspend reality.
Yeah.
All right, let me switch gears for 1 second, Harvey, before you have to go. And we always love having Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the show Monday morning.
You just said I got nothing.
Well, it's a slow day compared.
No, we do love having you on, believe me. But I'm curious what will happen, if anything, with the Billy Mays story. I mean, the family is outraged that the toxicology reports came out, but they can't argue with the science of it. If the dude had drugs in his system, the dude had drugs in his system, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way I see it, too. I mean, they kind of feel that It sounds to me like they feel like this was leaked and it kind of trashed him.
Right.
And it is sad, but wow, it real. I have to say, this one really took me by surprise. I mean, we just assumed, you know, initially we had heard that he had bumped his head on the overhead because of a hard landing in Florida, and then it turned out that it was heart disease, and we just kind of thought, okay, that's over. And
right.
it was a bolt from out of the blue. I mean, we had no clue about this.
Yeah.
And they probably wanted it that way.
And it wasn't just one drug. That's
no, I mean, he had a lot of things in his system.
That's what was shocking.
Xanax, Valium, cornucopia.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, this is the way it works. I mean, everybody thinks that because somebody does a clean 30 seconds on TV, that everything must be perfect in their lives, and it's such an illusion. I mean, it's almost unfair to the people who end up being stars that. Just because they're stars doesn't mean they sign up to have a perfect life, and they have problems like everybody else.
Now, you're absolutely right, and we do make assumptions based on our reaction to seeing Billy Mays on TV. We think we know something about him, and you're absolutely right. The guy's got a total personal life that we don't have any business knowing about, and I guess that's what the family's upset about now. But, all right, Harvey, I know you're following that. You're following Jackson. You're following everything else that happens in the world. Of course, check your local listings.
Even if it's nothing, right, guys?
How dare you? We were just making a comparison with 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
yeah.
Can I just ask you one quick thing?
Yes, of course.
So we got a picture. We did get a picture, which I personally love, of Kobe Bryant at the Louvre.
Right.
And he was in front of the Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Who's worth more, Kobe Bryant or the Mona Lisa?
Kobe. I would think. I don't know.
That's a really good question.
He's still got a lot of money to earn, I would guess.
I think it's Kobe, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous, I know, but...
That's hilarious.
I love Lisa Mays' laugh because it really does show everything about culture, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Man.
You're awesome, Harvey. TMZ Television, check your local listings. TMZ.com is the site. Harvey, have a great week, man. Thank you.
Bye, Harvey.
Thank you. Something. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Hey, are the lyrics to that song really Amber is the color of my urine stream, or is that just something
nope.
we sing? That's not how they really go, right?
That's a parody.
I haven't listened to the original in so long that I forgot what was real. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. We got an Afro line set up for you. It's an answering machine, 323-520-AFRO. You can think, whenever you think of us, 24 hours a day, you pick up the phone, you give us a call, leave a message, and then we play them back on the radio.
We got this one on Friday after I was talking about Julie and Julia,
mm-hmm.
how I couldn't understand how there's a movie about a woman who cooks and another woman who cooks her recipes and blogs about it.
Yes.
And that's what the first call's about.
So what if Megan Fox was cooking and blogging about it? Would you see the movie then?
Yep.
Yes, he would.
Yes, I would in a heartbeat.
Good call.
That is correct. But Megan Fox is not exactly Julia Child.
Okay.
We have been talking about dreams, and Omar, for some reason, dreamed that he woke up without his unit. I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
God damn it, Omar. I just had a dream that I didn't have a pee-pee. This is all your fault. I'm not gay.
DJ Omar Khan.
Take it easy. We get a variety of these every day.
Hi, guys. I just have a general comment for Psycho Mike. Shut up! So if you could pass that along, that'd be great. Thanks.
Amen, sister.
Will do.
She's so fat.
She's not fat at all. She's super hot. That was a supermodel.
Super hot and right, too, by the way.
Right. Right on. Our favorite Florida Panthers announcer. That's what this guy's doing.
He shoots, he scores! Excuse me.
Yes, a tribute to Kevin's fine acting. Which, by the way, Kevin, I have your movie. What's it called? Real Dad or Real Talk
Dark
or?
Real?
Dark Real. Yeah. Yeah, I put it on my Netflix queue, and hopefully, I will have it soon.
Oh, let's hope not.
Let's crack a leckin. I'm so bored. I got nothing to do. I'm so bored. I am so bored. I don't listen.
Really? Does that work?
No.
He sings a song about being bored and then changes his whole tone.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Oh, my God. I just remembered. It's Cleo. You owe us 50 seconds.
No kidding.
That's true, by the way. That was bogus.
What's the hardest part about being a Pearl Jam fan? Telling your parents you're gay.
See what he did there? Because that's not, that yeah. isn't what, but wait.
Hey, yeah, I've been watching a lot of promotions on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire 10-year anniversary. I was wondering if you guys could please
play the clip of Bean trying to help Ray Romano?
Yes.
Nope.
Yes,
nope.
We haven't played that.
Do we
in
have
all.
That?
We haven't played that in a long time. This is Ray Romano was going on Celebrity Millionaire, and I told him my friend Bean has an encyclopedic mind.
Yeah, thanks for that.
It doesn't matter what the question is. You call him. He will have the answer. He should be your lifeline.
I would have been very comfortable with that suggestion.
There you go.
Let's call this radio guy. He's a friend of mine. He has a radio station called The Kevin and Bean Show. His name is Beans Baxter. Let's call
Bean.
You
know, I know this guy.
Do
Let's
you know?
Get Beans on the line.
Supposedly
yeah, okay.
smart. Supposedly he's smart.
All right, AT&T, get us the Bean Man.
All right, I think you know pretty much what happens.
Let's play it.
We got a very busy...
Just play the clip.
Hello?
Hello, Bean.
Yes, sir.
How are you? Regis Philbin here from ABC's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Regis, good evening to you.
How you doing?
Doing fine. How's my boy Ray? Does everyone still love him?
Everybody loves Raymond, believe me.
And then everybody laughed and we all went home and that was that.
Nope, play it.
All right, Bean, when he comes on the line, he's going to read you the question. Four possible answers. One of them is the right answer. Start now.
What is the capital of the Republic of Georgia? Sofia, Vilnius, Tbilisi, Tallinn.
And the tape runs out there, but I knew the answer. I told him it was Tbilisi, and then he won all the money.
Play
for the
it.
Keep it going.
Ray, I'm going to be completely honest with you here. I don't know that.
Anything? Can you narrow it down?
Yeah, see if Regis will accept Atlanta.
And then everybody laughed, and they went ahead and gave him the points.
Nope.
So he won.
They didn't give him the point.
No. That's a bad thing for you, pal. I'm sorry.
That's all right, thanks.
Wow.
Never doing your show again.
Wow.
So much for the Bean, huh?
And then the next day, the guy painting your house. And by the way, in Bean's defense, I wouldn't have known that for $1 billion, of course.
Yeah.
And geography was not on the list of topics that I told Ray that I would feel comfortable. But the guy painting my house, what I saw the next day, is like, dude, everybody knows it's Tbilisi. Come on. He hadn't even seen the show. I was just telling him what happened. I said, yeah, so then they called me. They asked what the capital was in Georgia. And he said, Tbilisi? I'm like, yes. Like, where were you? Why didn't Ray Romano call you? Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra.
In its debut, was number one by far this past weekend, $56.2 million.
I heard that's based on a true story as well.
It is. Yo, Joe.
It's weird.
That was number one, so now you know, and knowing's half the battle.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. I love how they slipped in all the classic Joe references in the movie.
I didn't recognize a one of them.
I was thinking that as I watched it. Yeah. I said, Kevin will not pick up on any of this.
Not a single one.
At one point, they talk about one of the guys having lifelike hair and a kung fu grip, which was awesome. And they said, knowing's half the battle, which was awesome.
Didn't catch that.
Yo, Joe, awesome.
Don't know what that means.
Oh, Kevin.
How is my girlfriend Rachel Nichols on a treadmill?
Good.
She's good in every way.
Yeah.
The chick fight between Sienna Miller and Rachel Nichols is a really great movie fight, first of all, and then strangely erotic at the same time.
Both, yeah.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
Exactly.
She doesn't know what she's doing, man.
She doesn't.
She really doesn't realize.
She's just screwing around. She's just
falling in love. That's what she's doing.
Julie and Julia was number two at the box office this weekend. $20 million worth of business.
Oh, come on.
Which one?
Just the movie in general.
Just an ugly movie in general.
Did you go, Lisa?
No, I'm going with my mom this week.
You didn't go to see Julie
I was
and Julia.
For my mom.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for my mom to go see G-Force. That came in third this weekend. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was fourth. Then Funny People, The Ugly Truth, A Perfect Getaway, Aliens in the Attic, The Orphan, and 500 Days of Summer, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to actor and comedy legend Cheech Marin. He got married over the weekend to his longtime girlfriend, Natasha Rubin, in a sunset ceremony in their Malibu home. People magazine says about 75 people attended the ceremony. It was officiated by Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, by the way. He's the one who married them.
Really?
Yeah. Also attending were Carlos Mencia and Geraldo Rivera. Okay, Cheech, we get it. You're Mexican.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Got it. Understood. You have to invite everyone who was ever Mexican to your wedding. Yeah. Was Charo there? We get it. You're a Latino. We're all very impressed.
Does he not have any white friends after living in this country for 50 years?
You, he doesn't even know who Carlos Mencia is, but he just had to put him on the invite list.
Oh, Mencia, that's a Spanish last name.
Okay. George Lopez, he's in.
Yeah.
Sure. Natasha Rubin's his wife. She's Jewish. Should they invite Rabbi Shmuley Boteach? I doubt it.
Silly Mexicans.
Yeah. This is bad.
What?
Kirsten Dunst is in a new movie.
Oh, no.
Bad Part 1.
I hope she's in the role of a hot chick.
Bad Part 2, she's in the role of a hot chick. Bad Part 3, she gets topless.
Oh, no.
Really? Of all the actresses in Hollywood, these are the cans you're showing us?
That is not good in every case, Hollywood.
So I got to see that grill, and then I got to watch the flapjacks. I got to watch the sunny side up eggs. Yeah. Really? I got to see the sweat socks with the tangerines. Really? That's what I have to look at?
Come on now.
That's bullshit.
How about Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes.
How about her?
Yes.
Naked?
Much better.
Have you seen the new photos of her vacationing in Hawaii with her boyfriend, Jamie Kennedy?
I have not.
Yes.
She's playing tennis in a black bikini.
Is that code?
Nope. She's actually playing tennis in a black bikini. Looking spectacularly hot.
Really?
Boobies! My problem I have is she's wearing 4-inch platform heels while she's playing tennis.
Why?
It's like some weird erotic dream of her playing tennis versus her actually playing tennis.
That's odd.
4-inch, like, wood platform high-heeled shoes.
You can't kill
yourself that way.
Yeah, it can't be all she had either.
No, right? She knows people are taking photos, and she wants to look as thin as possible.
She must have known there was a paparazzo in the bushes there, because it was an odd choice for sporting footwear.
That's bullshit.
But I really can't complain. She looks pretty good. How will Paula Abdul make a living now that she's not on American Idol anymore? How will she stay in the public eye?
That is a great question.
Well, there may be one answer. Four little words. Dancing with the Stars.
Can be a judge on that show?
Or a contestant.
Oh, no.
With her back pain?
I mean, oh, yes.
She's always in pain.
That would be awesome.
ABC President Steve McPherson told some reporters Saturday that he'd love to see Paula either as a judge or a contestant on the show, and she has an open invitation. Look, she used to be a Laker girl. She's a choreographer. She certainly has the qualifications.
That's why it'd be awesome if she was a contestant and then got kicked off first.
The first show?
That would be great.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Only in show business, Ralph, does someone suck so bad on one show, and then there's practically a bidding war frenzy to get her on another show.
Failing up is not unheard of in the industry. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Angie Harmon, actress from Law & Order.
Oh.
Married to Jason Sehorn, former New York Giant.
Oh, yeah.
37 years old today.
He proposed to her on The Tonight Show, remember?
I don't, but I take your word for it. Michael Bivins of Belle Biv DeVoe. And New Edition is 41 years old today.
I like Belle and Biv, but I wasn't a big fan of her.
I was not a big DeVoe man either. Rosanna Arquette turns 50 years old today. And Antonio Banderas. He had to be at Cheech's wedding, right?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He had to be. He is 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
So we try to help out the listeners whenever we can. You know, they contact us if they need help with something. We got Michael on the line right now, who, first of all, we need to talk him out of getting married. That's the first thing we got to do.
But at least if he's getting married, he's got some great ideas for the reception. Hey, Michael, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
What's up, Jazz?
So when's the big day?
It's going to be May 1st, 2010.
Oh, okay.
This is not giving me a lot of time here. So.
Yeah, you're right. That is not a lot of time.
How long you kids been going out?
We actually been together for about seven and a half years, a little over 7 years.
Wow.
We first met when we were 9 years old, so it's been a...
Wow.
Been quite a while, yeah.
Dude, you're going to be married about 3 months, and you're going to be saying, what am I doing? I've been with this woman ever since I started getting hair down there. I got to get out of here.
Well, we're having a baby in probably the end of January or beginning of February, so.
Excellent.
Right after the marriage, the baby will be just about 3 months or so.
All right. So it's happening. So what's been going on in the conversations about your wedding and reception that we can help you with?
Well, since I first heard about the gentleman that you guys had talking about having donkeys at his wedding, it's just been kind of stuck in my mind. So I've been trying to do some research on it, but I can't find any information.
There was a guy that had a donkey with the saddlebags on the side, and he had beer in him.
Yep.
And it was just walking around at the wedding.
It sounded like such an amazing idea.
And you want that.
I want that so bad.
All right.
And I just took it one step further with the, I guess you can't say the M word anymore, right? People McNuggets.
People
now.
McNuggets, sure.
That's the other M word that they're going to get in return for the M word they don't want us to say.
Right.
I just can't think of a more memorable wedding.
So you want to have little people and you want to have a donkey at your wedding reception?
Well, if not one donkey, maybe two, but yes.
Excellent.
Okay, now let's take it one at a time here. First of all, what did Mrs. Michael have to say when you told her about the donkey idea?
It didn't go over so well at the beginning.
Right.
Really?
Understandably.
Wait a minute. That didn't go over well?
She had to confer with her family quite a bit, and once her family came around to it, you know, she's okay with it now.
Do you have, are you planning an outdoor reception?
Yeah, I think it's going to be at her mom's house. She has a pretty good side yard, but, you know, then we run into the legal issue. So that's what I want to find out. That's what I need you guys for.
But her mom is down for this?
She's pretty down for it, yeah. She wanted to get a Wee Man, but I met a midget at a bar.
Right.
That could kick himself in the head with both feet.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's what you wanted at a wedding.
That guy sold the deal right there.
Yeah, we've seen that too. And by the way, that's you send that guy out to do that right before the first dance. I mean, you really make it a party.
Right. Well, then if I can get Bean to do the salsa, I mean, then we're going
to
be set.
Absolutely. Bean would love to lead the salsa. How was the class on Friday night, Bean?
Well, you know, I didn't go. Come on. Right. My wife's not home yet, so I assume it went pretty well for her. So, you know, the thing about donkeys is they're big animals that make enormous poop. I mean, do you really want that to be part of your reception, is just giant poop?
Not so much the poop.
Yes.
Kind of comes with the deal.
Yeah, you can't get the donkey without the poop. That's the problem.
Well, if they have a keeper, maybe we can get people make a keeper that can...
No, we're not talking about the little people. We're talking about the donkeys.
Right, but maybe somebody could pick up the poo from the donkey, one of the midgets. I mean, they're perfect height for that.
So. Yeah, that's
true.
Probably not going to go over well.
So he wants little people for entertainment, and then he also wants them to shovel manure while they're at his reception. That's what's in store for them.
What about the chips and dip? What was that idea?
Well, I wanted the people in the nuggets to be carrying sombreros that are more like a party-type platter.
Right.
Tray. That could have you know, miscellaneous foods and dipping foods and maybe in the head of the hat some kind of dipping sauce.
I like the way you think.
I don't think that's demeaning at all to treat them like furniture. I really don't. I think honestly, taking a human and making him into an end table for your entertainment, I think is fine. I just wanted to go on record and saying I'm with you, Michael.
All right, I agree.
The fact that you talked this girl into saying yes to these ideas means you have to marry her.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't let this one go.
Yeah.
I am more shocked that he got her to approve the donkey than that she agreed to marry him, to tell you the truth.
Well, I don't think she knows. I'm guessing she just thought, well, donkey, all right, whatever. You know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think she understands the amount of...
She's really thinking this through.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right. All right. We do have a couple of website addresses we're going to give you, Michael, and I'm so glad you brought this question to our attention, because I know that there are a lot of other listeners who kind of count on us for little people and donkey information.
Right.
First of all, there's a place that we've used in the past called Rent a Midget, and the website that you want to get to them is called tinyentertainment.com. Tinyentertainment.com.
That's the website that I got from the guy that kicked himself in the head with bull.
There you go.
Perfect.
You can get that guy.
And by the way, this won't surprise you that it is out in area code 951, which is exactly where you'd expect to find that business. So that's tinyentertainment.com. And then we also have a place for you if you want to rent a donkey, and that's philsanimalrentals.com. philsanimalrentals.com. And we'll put the link to both of these up on the Kevin and Bean page of the website so other people who are listening to this and are being inspired about their own upcoming wedding can get in on the action.
Right.
I think this is going to be the wave of the future.
I do too. I think this is – when you say wedding, you're going to think donkey – little person.
That's what women do all the time, sir.
Oh, this is the best. All right.
And there's no, I just have to ask, Michael, just to make sure that we're all on the same page here. There's no planned after ceremony entertainment with the donkey and the midget together or anything like that, right?
Man.
I just want to make sure you're.
I haven't taken it that far, but we're not everything out at this point.
Let's pass on that. Let's just make it. Let's agree to keep that out of the picture.
I think it's okay to rule that out.
I think so too.
At this point, Michael, that's not close-minded at all.
Well, dude, if it
I'm
happens,
open for anything.
Yeah,
we can't wait for the wedding. We can't wait to see some pictures. So please stay in touch with us. Let us know how that goes. All right, dude, and good luck
Absolutely.
With your kid.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bye.
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show is our brand new singles party. I know what you're thinking. You know, Boys haven't done that in a long time. What's up? Well, we're back this Friday night at the hottest club in Hollywood. It is called Bardot, and we're going to be out there on Friday night looking for you, single people, 21 and over. You can give us a call. We're going to take some calls in about 15 minutes at 1-800-520-1067. Brought to you by the movie Spread, starring Ashton Kutcher, that opens up on Friday. And this is a pretty Tony place for us. I mean, usually they don't let the K-Rock types into clubs like this.
And definitely don't let us work the door. So this is going to be a little bit different. But this is the place that Lindsay Lohan came stumbling out of a couple of nights ago.
That's
and
right.
Was caught by the paparazzi. So if you want to join us on Friday night and you're single and you're a K-Rock fan, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls in just a minute.
The important thing is we're looking for people who aren't wallflowers, people who are there to actually meet and mingle and have fun. And you can also go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, too, and you can enter that way and get some more information. All right, with that out of the way, we'll take your calls in a few minutes. You ready to give away a brand new car and a year's supply of delicious Arco gas?
Let's do. Is it delicious? Have we tasted it?
I put it on salads. Okay. I have my cereal with it in the morning. It's the best tasting gasoline I've ever had in my life. I've got to be honest.
Fantastic. Let's go to Beer Bug. Hey, Beer Bug.
Happy Monday morning, guys.
Happy Monday morning to you as well.
Hey, Muggs.
Hey, Lisa.
So, Mug, you got a smart car, year supply of Arco gas, and you're out in front of a lucky winner's home. They do not know it yet, right?
They do not know. We're out in front of his house right now in Hacienda Heights, and we're going to go surprise him.
Fantastic. Walk up to the door and knock.
All right, I'm getting out of this smart car right now.
Do we need to send the jaws of life?
I'm out. Okay, I'm good. We're good. Right. Got out of the smart car.
How was the smart car? I've never driven one. Is it pretty cool?
Don't buy one.
I would get...
All right. And with that, good night. Hey, congratulations. You just want a new car, but why would you care? Why would you want it?
Well, it's free. He's saying don't buy it, but it's free.
Right.
If you get one for free, you should.
Of course. Yeah. All right, walk up and knock on the door.
I just reached the door. I'm going to give it a knock. Here we go.
Remember last time the guy wouldn't let him in?
Yes.
I did. Yeah.
What do you want? And if you've seen Beer Mug, I don't blame him. He looks like a freaking zombie showing up at your door.
You still got the facial hair?
Coming to the door.
All right.
Someone's coming. Yes, sir. How you doing? Good morning, sir. Is Roman here? All right, thanks. Gentleman in headphones just told me to stand by.
Okay.
He's probably listening to you guys.
In headphones?
Yeah, like Walkman headphones.
Okay.
For standing by.
First Walkman reference I've heard in about 15 years, by the way.
Oop, dog.
Dog's barking.
Run! Wouldn't it be funny if that dog just latched on to Beer Mug's leg?
That's exactly what they're doing. What's
never
this guy
go?
Doing in his house
Send
at 7:30 in the morning?
Looks like we're at a house that was built in the 50s, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any
architectural notes?
Features you'd like to
What's
mention?
The color of the paint on the outside of the house? Beer?
Good foundation. Good foundation.
Okay, good.
Doug is bringing it to life. All right, how about Roman? Where's he? We'd like to give him the car.
You know, maybe he's waking up. Maybe he's having
probably.
To be woken up.
Yeah.
Hey, Roman, you home?
Mo?
Hey, nice.
Right?
This would be a good time to tell you about... Oh, okay.
Roman?
Yeah.
What's going on? Beer Mug from K-Rock. I got some people on the phone that want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Hello?
Hey, dude. It's Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How's it going?
Good. Sorry to wake you up. You see that car right out in front of your house?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's yours.
Are you serious?
That's your car. That one, you own that. You remember. What? You qualified for the K-Rock Road Trip USA, right?
Yeah, I remember.
And you also qualified for a brand new smart car and a year's full of gas from Arco.
Gas, yeah.
I was thinking this from vanity, but I realize I'm probably somewhere near the on the radio somewhere. And whew.
Yes, you're somewhere near the radio.
Yes. So what we're trying to tell you, Roman, and I know that you were asleep 60 seconds ago, but you've just won a 2009 smart car and a year's supply of gas from Arco, powered by Arco, straight up gas, and be sure to sign up now for the Arco Debit MasterCard. You don't have to do that, but you do have to go to Arco to buy gas with your new car.
Oh, my God.
What do you drive now?
Excellent way to wake up on Monday.
What do you drive now, Roman?
One of these two. A van or a old Saturn? I mean, old Saturn?
A van or an old Saturn? All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a new car now.
I can see that. That's great. Right. I mean, yeah.
Well, congratulations, Roman. You are the grand prize winner, so we hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Do us a favor and kick Beer Bug in the nuts.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Thanks. Congratulations.
Right. Thanks.
Bye now.
Oh
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 7:35.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got the star and director of the new District 9 motion picture coming up in about a half an hour. Right now, we're talking about the Kevin and Bean Singles Party, the Spread'em at Bardot Singles Party, which is going to be this Friday night. Bardot is one of the hottest clubs in Hollywood. By the way, I'm a little bit concerned that I'm being punked, that you guys are asking me to show up to this party so then I will be turned away at the door, because clearly it's not much of a party if they're letting guys like me.
That would be awesome.
We've got a big picture on the wall though, by the front door. Of, Do not admit this, spina bifida.
That would be perfect case scenario, wouldn't it?
Yeah, what's your name?
I'm Charmaine.
Oh, Charmaine. Yeah, what's up?
I'm here to spread them.
Yeah, yeah, go right in, baby. You're next.
Hey, I'm here for the Kevin and Bean singles party.
What'd you say your name was?
I'm Chad. My name's Chad.
Man, get the f*** out of here, punk-ass bitch. Everybody listen up. If you want to spread them at Bardot with Kevin and Bean, you need to be on the list. All right, next.
Wow. Spread is the new movie from Ashton Kutcher. They're picking up the tab for the party Friday night. You can go to Facebook.com/KevinandBean to sign up there, or you can call us right now if you're 21 and up and want to come Friday night, 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, explain what's different this time around.
Well, because it is a Hollywood hotspot. I mean, Bardot is one of the hottest clubs in Hollywood, and we're going to take it over for a night. Usually when you go to one of these places, they got the velvet rope set up, they've got the bouncer, and if you're not on the list, you don't get through the door. So each of us here on the show, Lisa and Kevin and Bean and myself, we've all got our own lists that'll be at the front door, and we will put you on a list. This way, not everyone has to agree on someone. You can volunteer and just have someone on your personal list and get them in, which is good for Lisa because we never like anyone she likes.
That never is do. True. That's true. Yeah.
That's very
so
true.
So in other words, if there are mute Asian girls, they know that to ask for me, right?
That's
I mean,
right.
If they could talk, they know to ask for me.
Be on Bean's list.
Right. And what all kind right. of place is letting us run the list? I mean, let's be honest. This is ridiculous.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us.
Yeah.
All right, let's see how it goes. 1-800-520-1067. We talked to some guys last hour. Why don't we start with Evelyn this time? She is on line 5, and let's see what she's got going on and if she really wants to join us Friday night.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Tell us about Friday night. Tell us about you and your singleness.
Is that a word? Let me see.
Not a word now.
Yeah.
Why would you like to come to the party?
Why do I want to go? You know, straight out. I want to get laid.
You want to get laid?
Oh, right. That part cut through.
Yeah. Gentlemen, who's going to put them on their list?
Really?
I'll vouch for Evelyn. Sure. Right. I'm happy to vouch
you're
for Evelyn.
You're on Bean's list, Evelyn. Congratulations. You're coming to the party.
Nicely done.
Wow. And Lisa, how could you say it's easier for women to get through at the party?
Don't know.
Come
I'm
on.
So
ridiculous.
Wrong.
We have standards.
We have standards.
You're right.
If
a guy said that, he'd be right in
we
as well.
We couldn't even hear her.
I know.
We heard the important part. That's all that matters.
Oh, my God.
Let's try one more woman now. Miko is on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm sorry, which is it? I or E?
Miko.
Miko. Welcome to the show. Tell us about you.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Let's see. Well, I'm single, and I actually tried to go to a single party when you had a Halloween party a couple years ago.
Okay.
But the, the electricity went out in my whole entire building, and I couldn't get my car out of the garage because it was run by electricity.
Loser!
So.
God does not want you to have sex.
Wow.
So I'm very excited that this time I might be able to go.
Yeah.
I park on the street.
Excellent. Smart. Got a plan ahead of time.
You should get one of those emergency ladders they have for when fire or earthquakes come. You throw it over your balcony, you can climb down.
Well, getting out of the building was fine. It was getting my car out.
Yeah. No way to get there.
Hey, Miko, do you ever go to these velvet rope type Hollywood nightclub places?
I used to. I'm more of a beach girl now, actually, but yeah, every once in a while I'll go out there.
Mm-hmm. So back when you were young and still pretty, you used to try to go to these kind of parties?
Oh, yeah. You can't turn everything against
them. No, I was just asking. I'm just trying to make the deal.
Miko, when you go to the beach, do you wear a bikini or a one piece?
I wear a bikini.
Okay. So that's an important question.
Yeah. Miko, what do you do for a living?
I'm a nurse.
Oh,
you're
nurses.
On my list.
You know what I said about nurses? I've
She's
always
on
said
my list.
It.
I already got her on my list.
There's nothing you can do to a nurse that will gross them out. They've seen everything.
It's pretty true.
It's absolutely true. Nurses have no boundaries. There's no limits what you can do with the human body
That's
and a
true.
Nurse because they've seen it all. Nothing's too freaky.
They've seen all the fluids. They've seen all the solids coming out of everywhere.
Nothing
That's
bothers
an excellent
them.
Point.
Nothing bothers
All right, Miko, you were on Kevin's list at the door Friday night at the Bardot. Congratulations. We'll see you there. And I guess we should mention, bring a single friend of the same sex because we're keeping track of how many people we have there. All right, let's try some guys. You saw how easy it was for the girls to get in. Let's see how the guys do. Why don't we start with Julian? He's on line 1 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Julian, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey! Talk too late.
He was doing the hey for the end of the song.
Oh, see?
That was close.
See, four minutes later, that's pretty well done.
I thought he yelled, hey, copulate.
That's what I thought he said.
Either way works. He's desperate to get laid.
Julian has our sense of humor. I already like him.
I do, too.
You're an accountant, though, Julian, huh?
That's right, sir.
And you play flag football.
Yes, I do. Even if I want to be a policeman, now accounting is super boring.
Right.
For real. I'm trying to get this, trying to go to the single party, trying to get drunk, trying to meet some people, and probably take some body shots off Lisa. Then probably, you know, do some crazy.
You can take some bites off Lisa. She likes that.
Body shots.
Body shots. Yeah. I thought they said bites. I was in.
Kevin's encouraging people to bite Lisa.
She usually likes that. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, look, you have to be fairly smart to be an accountant because it does involve math and, you know, being organized. And he also plays some flag football on the side, which means he's, you know, he's not completely sedentary. I think he's got a lot going on for him.
Dork, though.
Yeah. I'll vouch for Julian. I'm happy to have Julian on my list.
You're on the Dork list.
I'm happy.
All right, Julian.
All right.
He's happy. That's all that matters.
He does math.
I like him.
He keeps the score for the flag football team, by the way. There's no way he's playing.
I wonder if he likes calendars.
In the 90 seconds that we had with Julian, I felt like we got enough clues that he's an all right
guy.
Don't need to explain.
You've got your own list. You can put him on your list if you want to.
Yeah, this is good because we will have a very varied group of people.
It's your list.
Let's go to Oscar, 23 years old. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Tell us about yourself.
Want to go to this party, man. Nothing much more fun than a bunch of singles party. And, like, you know, with women like Evelyn. Like that first
hit. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to go there?
She seems good, right?
She doesn't sound too picky, Oscar. You might be right.
I mean, this sounds like the hit party of the year already.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
So, Oscar, what's your story? What do you do?
Right now, I just started going. I went back to school to Le Cordon Bleu. I'm starting to be a chef.
Oh. Wow.
So you're fat?
Like Julia Child.
Are you fat?
Yeah.
Are you fat?
My brother was talking to me.
Fat?
F-A-T?
Are you fat?
No, I'm not huge.
Fat.
I'd say I'm pretty average.
I would say that's not the way to answer that question.
You're average in a room full of fat people?
No, not even.
All right. I don't know. I don't know what to think about him. He's honest.
You've got your list?
I like that he's honest.
Is he on your list?
Well, are you going to take him, Lisa? Not on your list.
He's going to the Cordon Bleu.
Wow, the guy can cook.
Oh, he can take a chicken and poach it.
If he blogged about it, you would be very excited.
Exactly.
Wow, you're rough.
Look, y'all got lists.
Wow.
Ralph, you put him on your list yet?
Yeah, Ralph.
Oscar, give me height and weight numbers here.
Be honest.
I'm 5'7".
I'm like 190.
190.
Whoa.
That's not terrible.
I'm thinking about the ladies, you know? I want
now,
the ladies
have
to
we
be
seen,
happy.
Have we seen you on Too Fat to Love or whatever that show is on Fox?
More to Love.
Are you on that?
He tried out and didn't. Was too heavy.
You know, Oscar sounds like a good guy. I'm going to put him on my list.
All right.
I'm going to put him on my list.
There we go.
Congratulations, Oscar. You're coming in.
Thanks, man.
All right.
All right, we just have time for one more. Kevin, anyone in particular you want to go to here?
Let's see. Let's try Amber. It's the color of my energy. Hey, Amber.
Wow. Hey, what's going on?
I know. Tell us about yourself.
Hello?
Yes,
hi Amber.
We're on with you. Sorry. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, a little about me. I don't know. I'm 25 in Orange County area. I'm half Dutch, Indonesian. I know you guys want Asian, but I'm Indonesian.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't think they'd bicker.
Half Dutch, half Indonesian sounds good.
That's interesting.
I don't know. It's fun. I kind of just hang out. I ride dirt bikes on the side and just kind of...
You're kind of a dude chick. You ride dirt bikes.
Yeah, but I don't look like a dude.
No, that's the best.
But yeah, I don't know. That's about it. Newly single, so I'm down to have some cocktails and see what happens. So.
Wow, that scared me. Okay, good.
What do you do for a living?
I work for a utility company. I can't really say what I do, but I work for a utility company.
All right. Is it illegal what you do?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking. All right, I think I like Amber.
You think?
I think so.
Easy there, sweetheart.
I think so.
Don't get uppity. We're talking about you here. Relax.
I think I'll put Amber on my list.
She likes the dirt highway, which is always good.
No, she likes dirt bikes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
The half Asian, half white mix is almost always a winner.
That's always good.
Almost always a winner.
Yeah.
What's Indonesian? I'm not familiar with what that region is.
Like Bali.
Oh, Bali. Oh, like a Polynesian kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's a plus. That's a good look.
All right.
Yeah.
You're in. We'll see you Friday night.
Nice. Thank you.
Bring another single girl as well.
So she's on your list, Kevin?
Yep.
You got to keep track.
She's on. I'm not keeping track at all.
I know you're not. Someone has to.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Amber. We'll see you Friday. Here's the deal. We're going to continue to give away tickets on the radio every morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. And again, you can go to Facebook.com/KevinandBean if you'd like to enter that way as well. But the party is this Friday night, brought to you by Spread, the new movie from Ashton Kutcher, opening up on Friday. And we'll be at the Bardo. Stand by for your chance to win tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. I'm eager to see how Ralph's head is not going to explode next hour when we talk about one of his favorite things in the world, football, and one of his least favorite things in the world, fantasy football, at the same time. How are you going to handle that, Ralph?
Fantasy football.
It's going to be tough for you, isn't it?
No, I'm getting my murder button primed and oiled.
Also, highlights of last night's Comedy Central roast of Joan Rivers, and we'll talk to the star and director of the new film District 9. All of that straight ahead the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, now Ralph has the showbiz beat.
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. G.I. Joe, the real American hero. Number one at the box office this weekend, $56.2 million. Rise of the Cobra.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good old-fashioned action, just fun summer
Didn't
movie.
That hit you, like I said last week, like an old-fashioned Bond movie with the secret undersea fortress and the cool gadgets and that kind of stuff? Just a fun summertime blockbuster.
And based on a true story.
That's
a lot of people don't know that.
That's right.
So it sounds like now somebody somewhere is writing a sequel today, right?
Oh,
that's
sure.
Their job is
absolutely.
Come up with the next one? Yeah.
They're probably further along than that.
Because they prime the sequel really at the end of this film. They set it all up for the next installment, which is pretty awesome. Julia and Jimmy and Jan and Dean.
Yeah.
Julie and Julia, $20 million it made in its debut. They're working on a sequel for that, too, called Dessert.
You know I would
movie.
See that.
Dessert and blogging.
G-Force was third. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince came in at number four. Funny People was fifth. And The Ugly Truth, A Perfect Getaway, Aliens in the Attic, The Orphan, and 500 Days of Summer, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Speaking of The Ugly Truth, Katherine Heigl, who stars in that movie, is continuing her tour to make America hate her.
Really? More?
She will just not shut the F up and do herself a favor. She was on the David Letterman show last week, and she said, this is a quote, talking about her first day back to work at Grey's Anatomy. Our first day back was Wednesday, and it was, and I'm going to keep saying this because I hope it embarrasses them, a 17-hour day, which I think is cruel and mean.
What?
Oh, wow.
She is making just a dump truck full of cash to work on that show.
A lot of people aren't.
A lot of people
that
aren't.
Had to work those 17
like
hours.
The crew and the people who work craft services and the lighting gang and transportation and with everyone else on that goddamn set who's also working 17-hour days, not making that kind of money, doesn't get to go on Letterman and bitch about it, just goes and does their work and goes home. This bitch.
Whore.
Steve McPherson, the ABC president, said, I think Catherine's statement was unfortunate. There are so many people who work so hard on Grey's and all of our shows without any notoriety, and those are the ones I'd be concerned about. People feel like they're being criticized or looked down upon.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
That's a good question.
Yeah!
Well, she shuts
she
the hell up.
She does not represent all of us.
No, she doesn't.
She can't say anything without making herself even more hateable.
Yeah, she really needs to be quiet.
17-hour day is cruel.
I hope they're embarrassed.
Quit. Just effing quit. Effing quit and make The Ugly Truth 2. God damn her. See Katy Perry on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last night?
No.
You know, they're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Heard
so they're
that.
To put it back on primetime with Regis as host. Thank God Regis is getting some work.
Yeah.
And It was on last night, and I'm a sucker for that show. I watch it anytime it's on. And they had Katy Perry on as a special celebrity guest because she was raising money for her charity.
Mm-hmm.
And she is Katy Perry.
Yes, she
and
is.
And I love
she
her
sure
so
is.
Much. And I adore her. Yeah. And no matter what you saw in Star Magazine this week, don't believe that she has a Josh Groban tattoo. Apparently, she did it as a joke. She had a Josh Groban tattoo put on her body in temporary ink. And was flashing it for photographers who were then saying it was real, but it is not. It's just a gag. You can tell by the fact that she spelled his last name wrong as well on the tattoo.
Oh, good.
So
she's just being wacky.
Just being hilarious. Just Katy being Katy.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
Thank you, Regis.
Now we know who the Kato's going to be to the Green Hornet.
Seth Rogen's playing the Green Hornet in the motion picture about the famous radio and comic book hero. And his sidekick, Kato, famously played by Bruce Lee on the 60s TV series, will now be played by Taiwanese singer-actor Jay Chou.
I drive like an agent!
Slanted eyes, eating dog with slanted eyes.
I drive like an agent!
I don't know that that's appropriate
that's
at all. Come on.
Apparently he has just been signed on. Nick Cage is supposed to play the villain in the movie.
I'm more of a Green Hornet protector.
And Cameron Diaz is negotiating to play Seth Rogen's mother. No, I'm sorry, love interest.
Is he a big star around the world, Ralph? Is that where they found him? Or is he a new up-and-coming actor?
I do not know the level of fame that Mr. Chow enjoys.
Right.
But
Is that Mr.
Chow? He's got the kid. Yeah, he's got a restaurant I know that's very popular.
Because I just wonder, because I think about that actor who's in the G.I. Joe movie who has a huge Asian following, and I'm wondering if they're kind of setting the Green Hornet up to kind of have a, you know, be popular in other countries before it is even released because they got one of their stars in, too.
I do not know. I'm not familiar with this person. Although that guy from G.I. Joe, Young Lee, would have been a good choice, too. For
yeah.
Because he does all that martial arts stuff.
He's good.
Him and Snake Eyes, man. They were brothers when they were kids.
He and his brother sure fought a lot.
Oh,
I know that.
They sure fought.
Man, do they fight.
Boy, do they fight.
They fight.
I'm Billy Mays for cocaine! Last week, the Florida Medical Examiner issued a press release stating that Billy Mays died from a heart attack while sleeping, partially caused by his cocaine use.
Oh, good for you! And how was it?
The release claimed cocaine either caused or contributed to the development of his heart disease and thereby contributed to his death. Mm. The family is not pleased about this statement, saying that we were totally unaware of any non-prescription drug usage. Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's how it goes. Wasn't the only thing found in his bloodstream, by the way. The toxicology report also shows hydrocodone and oxycodone.
Oh.
Pain relievers. Tramadol. Alprazolam. And diazepam, which are anti-anxiety drugs.
So kind of a...
Xanax and Valium and
a grouping
Oxycontin.
Of all.
He had a...
everything.
He had a pharmacy in his bloodstream.
Yeah.
The report contains speculative conclusions that are frankly unnecessary, says the family. They tend to obscure the conclusion that Billy suffered from chronic untreated hypertension. Yeah, if you do enough blow, your blood pressure goes up. I've always found that to be true. So, sad news.
So my question to you is that bad?
Yes, that'd be bad. Don't do drugs. That's our policy on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rosanna Arquette is 50 years old.
Yeah.
Antonio Banderas is celebrated actor and husband of Melanie Griffith. He's 49 years old. Michael Bivins of Belle Biv DeVoe is 41 and is...
Start this long before the hook.
Yes,
next time.
By all means, don't cut. Wrong move, you day. That girl is. Next time, started That Girl Is.
We'll next hour, the whole song.
Backwards. And Angie Harmon, former star of Law & Order, celebrates her 37th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This hour, by the way, is when you want to stay tuned. If you're a Depeche Mode fan, you can win tickets and backstage passes to see the Mode at the Hollywood Bowl or the Honda Center. How about that? Sometime in the next 45 minutes, we'll give you your chance to call in and win. Highlights from the Joan Rivers roast on Comedy Central in just a few minutes. Ralph, I'm going to let you introduce our next guest since you've been buzzing about District 9 since you saw it at Comic-Con.
It's so cool to be able to see a movie early on and then watch the excitement build about it. I saw this film down at Comic-Con. I was able to host the panel for these guys as we introduced it to the crowd down there. And now Entertainment Weekly this week calls it the must-see movie of the summer.
Wow.
How about that?
And says why District 9 will blow your mind. And on the cover is the star of the film, Charlton Copley. We've got on the phone and also his director and writer of the film, Neil Blomkamp. Good morning, guys.
Hey, man. How are you going?
It's going?
How are you guys?
It's going well. We are good.
I'm a little nervous to talk to Charlton, having seen the movie and B, seen the Entertainment Weekly cover, because his big eye just freaks me out. I got to tell you.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you guys. I wanted to ask you how you think I survived the Comic-Con panel, man, because I was so nervous going into that.
I think you did a great job, Charlton. Absolutely, and I thought it was funny. You guys were so excited to be out there in front of 5,000 people, and we went to go to a clip from the movie, and it was the wrong clip.
Yeah, that was
awesome. Nice.
Had a malfunction.
That's great.
They started showing Legion again instead of their clip for their movie, and I felt so bad for the guys. But it went great, and everyone seemed to love it, and now it's got all this attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Tell us about the short movie and how that all got started.
Well, I was in 2005, I was directing like little short films on the side of directing TV commercials that could explore ideas I wanted to kind of mess around with. And I had this, I grew up in Johannesburg, and I had this idea to put science fiction in Joburg and kind of see what that would look like. So I did a short film called Alive in Joburg, which features aliens arriving there and kind of, they're almost kind of refugees, really. And then, so that's where the short film came from. And then Peter Jackson hired me to do Halo, and Halo collapsed, and we just decided to make a new film, and we looked at Alive in Joburg as a jumping off point for the new film.
It's such a fascinating, I mean, I love alien movies, maybe more than the next guy, but it's such a fresh take on it. Where did the idea come from, if you remember, Neil, that you thought of the aliens coming here and being, as you described, as refugees? Because usually, you know, in every other sci-fi movie you see, they're either coming to reach out to us to learn about us, or they're coming to kill us. Yours is a brand new take.
Yeah, well, I think where it grew out of was really the idea. I mean, Johannesburg was really the inspiration for everything, and I think that, you know, if you switch out certain aspects of Joburg and South Africa's history with aliens or with a science fiction kind of edge, you start naturally getting a different take on how you know an alien film or a science fiction film could be lensed and could be shown to an audience. So I think it's the reason that it was set in Joburg, and the way that, you know, the politics of Johannesburg is what allowed for what you are viewing as unique.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And for those of us who will never be lucky enough to visit your city, I mean, that shanty town where most of the movie takes place.
Lucky in quotes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it sounds like an exotic and exciting place for those of us who live in America that we'd love to see sometime. But that shanty town where the whole thing was filmed, I mean, does that sort of place exist in South Africa, or is that something that you kind of made up and made look bad for the movie?
Well, actually, it is 100% authentic, to the point where the South African government was moving residents of that area out and into a different area of the city, and we were able to inherit all of those shacks. So, I mean, it's as real as it gets. It's we didn't actually build the shacks. There were two that we built, which was for the one of the lead alien characters, and then for the Nigerian gangsters. We built their shacks in amongst the real ones, and everything else is 100% real,
including the aliens, which are also there.
Yeah, we rented those from the Joburg Zoo.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Neil, I have to tell you, talk about being real. I often tell my friends when they ask me about having seen the movie that, sadly, I think if aliens ever did land on Earth, this is the most realistic portrayal of how they would most likely be treated by a human being. Sadly.
Yeah, you're probably not far off from the truth.
Now, Charlton, I wanted to ask you, and I know we talked about this down at Comic-Con, but can you explain for everyone how you came about becoming the star of the movie for a guy who didn't have a lot of film acting experience?
Yeah, well, I didn't have any film acting experience.
I was trying to be generous.
Yeah, so certainly in any way, shape, or form like this. Well, that was Neil, basically. Decided, asked me to sort of set up a shoot for him in South Africa, which was now after Alive in Joburg, the short that you've seen, just because he was developing and playing with different ideas.
What do you mean set up?
As in, like, produce it for him.
Oh, okay, yeah, he was a producer.
And normally I work behind the scenes, and so during that process, Neil sort of said to me, well, you know, I have this idea. He's a bureaucratic guy. Imagine sort of old South Africa, typical Afrikaans bureaucrat, but sort of once a month has to go and deal with these creatures. And I think you should just jump in front of the camera and just explore this guy and explore this character. And I was totally up for that. I did always used to do sort of accents and characters just in my life. It was always something that kind of intrigued me, and I used to play the fool and mess around. And so we shot a piece where basically the whole Vickers character was born literally on camera, just with Terry and his writing partner and the DOP were out in South Africa, and we went into a township and just messed around. And yeah, he didn't tell me for several months afterwards, you know, that he was then considering me as the lead guy.
I phoned him and told him that he was now an actor.
Oh, wow. You know,
he was in the background, they're writing the script. You know, him and Terry are working on the script, and they're showing it to Peter and Fran, and everybody's having this whole conversation. And there's me just going along, and Neil's telling me, yeah, dude, you must do a cameo somewhere in the film. And I'm like, yeah, that'll be fine. The whole time I'm thinking I'm going to be behind the scenes in some way or something. And, yeah, surprise.
Surprise movie star.
That's a weird way to become a movie star, isn't it? I mean, it seems like there's a lot more serious work that's done. You guys are going, yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
Why not?
True.
Is it true what I read in one of the accounts of the film? And if you're just joining us, by the way, we have the director, writer, and star, and that's two people, not three, of the new District 9 opening everywhere on Friday on the show. You're listening to The Kevin Amin Show. Is it true, Charteau, that a lot of the dialogue in the film was improvised on set at the time?
Yes. All the actual dialogue, in fact, is improvised, everything. But what they did was Neil had a script, and he had a story, you know, sort of clear narrative story structure, and they even did write some lines or whatever, but it was very much just token stuff to give them, in terms of the lines anyway. So he would just throw that out, and it would literally be just rock up on the day, and Neil would say, these are the main story points that we have to hit in the scene. There'd be two or three of them. And then it was just playing with the other actors and throwing stuff out at him, and him sort of watching and picking what he needed for the narrative. So it was very, it really did feel like we were shooting a documentary while we were out.
I could write a movie if that's how you do it.
Just make it up as you go. I can't tell if Neil is brilliant or lazy. I can't decide.
He's brilliant, let me tell you. I'm as lazy as they come.
Why is it that in some of the early trailers, the aliens were blurred out?
Well, that was just, I mean, you know, if you've seen the film, then you see there's kind of, in a way, there's almost like a disregard for the visual effects. Like the way that the fantastic elements of the film are portrayed. You know, in a lot of Hollywood movies, you kind of put special effects up on a pedestal.
And right, and that's
really
all you get.
Them beautifully,
yeah.
And
right.
Then, you know, and I wanted to do the opposite of that. I wanted it to feel like, you know, the effects didn't cost anything, and I'm just going to treat them as though they're part of the furniture and just move the camera wherever I want. And so I thought, you know, if you didn't have to pay millions of dollars to have these aliens realized, if they were real, then, you know, and one particular alien hadn't signed some sort of bureaucratic legal paperwork
to allow
his face to be portrayed, then unfortunately it would have to be digitized out. So that's where that idea is.
I think that is the strength of the movie, Neil, is that the effects are excellent and they're brilliant, and the action and adventure is all there, but you don't highlight it. You don't make it the centerpiece of the film. It is the story that carries the film, and everything else is just in support of that.
Yeah, it's meant to feel as real as I could make it feel. It's like woven into the fabric of the movie, and you're meant to feel as though this is kind of occurring in front of you, but it's not. You're not being manipulated. It's just simply there. It's just reality.
I'm sure when you guys finished the film, you were happy with it, but it must be so gratifying to see the response now that people are starting to see the movie that you worked so hard on, and seeing the comparisons that they're making to great movies like Children of Men and City of God and 28 Days Later and all these other films that people bring up to try to explain it to people who haven't seen it. That must make you feel so good.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, it's like, you know, I was working in New Zealand almost up until the final hour there, and then we went to San Diego for Comic-Con, and, you know, it's kind of, it was like 2.5 years of my life one way, and then after Comic-Con was like, you know, now the film is kind of, you know, it hasn't been released to the real audience yet. It only comes out on Friday, but just having you know, people that are movie lovers and critics and people really respond to it is an amazing, you know, just, I'm breathing the hugest sigh of relief, and I feel very gratified.
After 2.5 years, I imagine.
Yeah.
Charteau, you're on the cover of Entertainment Weekly magazine. Are you ready to be a movie star? Are you going to start acting full-time and make this your living now?
Oh, man, I tell you, the acting part feels very natural, and I definitely want to do more of it, especially character acting. I love characters, I love voices, and I'm just very, very grateful. I mean, the stuff like that, you know, sort of covers, or, you know, signing autographs and stuff, really is an amazing kind of thing that I just never kind of, I suppose I just never sort of accepted it or thought that would happen.
Right.
I loved making the film. It was working with friends, and it felt very natural to me, all that process. But this whole part feels a little bit surreal, to be honest. I'm trying to adjust to the whole.
By next year, you'll be in a romantic comedy with Kate Hudson.
I want to see that.
Well, we could not have been recommending this movie more highly on The Kevin and Bean Show, and it's a thrill to talk to both you guys, director, writer Neil Blomkamp, and also actor Charlton Copley from the film District 9. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Guys, thanks a lot for coming on the show today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, I know a lot of people are looking forward to this Comedy Central roast of Joan Rivers. I prefer not to have Joan Rivers on my TV ever.
Me too.
So that's why I didn't tune in last night.
Me too. Explain for people in as short a time as you can, Bean, because I think you can do it better than me, about the roast and what it means and the sensibilities and everything.
Well, I mean, roasts go back decades and decades to the Friars Club in New York, and a lot of comedians kind of grew up on these things, and Comedy Central reinvented it a few years ago. It's basically just your friends and other people in showbiz get together and say the meanest, most scathingly horrible things they can say, but with love, in a positive way. And I guess that's what they were doing last night. It's kind of, it's like an honor, but with jokes.
Yeah, and it's rude and it's politically incorrect.
Absolutely. Times, that's the best part.
Times 100.
Yeah.
So know that going in, and if you get offended by that, then don't call us, because that's what this is for. All right, Kathy Griffin was the host. I don't like Joan Rivers, so I was hoping they would just take her down. Yeah. Everybody had too much respect for her. That was kind of a bummer. But Kathy started off the night.
Beware, tonight is going to be gayer than that kid from American Idol this year. Ryan Seacrest.
See, because she went a different direction there. There was a guy named Greg Giraldo. Who was one of the people that made fun of Joan Rivers' plastic surgery.
Joan, seriously, you're not the only one here. All these rubber-faced monsters. What the f***? What goes into people's heads out here? Why? Did you really? Really? Is that good? What? How much worse could your real face look than that clown mask you've had welded on your head? You used to look your age. Now you don't even look your species.
There was a lot of that kind of
great line.
There was a lot of that kind of humor.
So
she
true.
Does. I think she looks horrible. I know a lot of people say they like how she looks for 78 years old or whatever she is. I think she looks like a freak show.
She does. She doesn't really look, do. I've never heard anyone say she looks good. I mean, really,
no.
she's hideous.
It's a freak show.
She's a blow pig. So Donald Trump came on, and he wasn't there, but he had recorded a video, and he was saying that his next project is going to be very ambitious. It's to remake Joan Rivers' body.
My trained eye tells me since 1982 you've been condemned from the waist down, but I promise you no expense will be spared in your reconstruction. We'll tent you, fumigate you, and if necessary, send in a hazmat team to remove all hazardous materials found in that toxic pool you call a vagina, which has already been responsible for at least one fatality.
All right. There you go right there.
Wow.
There you go.
Her husband committed suicide.
See,
is the joke.
One fatality. That's pretty strong.
That was rough.
Yeah. Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General. For good reason. He was talking about her plastic surgery.
Who's your plastic surgeon? Tim Burton? Oh, my God. Kanye's mom had a better plastic surgeon.
Wow.
See, because
she didn't
she died on the
that
table.
So much.
Right.
She died, and she had a better plastic surgeon. So remember when we were talking to Jeff, and he said Joan tore the roof off the place?
Mm-hmm. Right. Play said the best set of the night.
I'm going to play a little bit of Joan. I did not agree with him at all. I don't like her. She's always been old and not funny to me. I don't understand it for
you
the
might
life
be preconditioned.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be. Robin Quivers from the Howard Stern Show was on there. And this is what Joan had to say to her.
Oh, when you do the Howard Stern Show, every time there's a break, she goes, oh, my father molested me. My father molested me. Take a good look at yourself, darling. Let me tell you something. You should be thrilled that that man paid any attention at all. I saw you naked backstage, bitch. You look like a f***ing mudslide. I don't even talk about you.
Okay. So, clearly she's, politically incorrect. And that was as funny as she got.
But that was funny. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but there's a mean-spiritedness to her tone that I didn't hear from the comics making fun of her. Do you know what I mean?
Surprise. Yes.
She, like, pushes it past into, like, really angry mean.
Because she's not funny. Because I think she's not funny. And then she went in, you can just tell me how long of this you can stand. She brought down an American flag, and she pretty much was telling everybody that she's the face of comedy, and she's the future of comedy, and blah, blah, blah.
American needs Joan Rivers. Country. I will not retire, do you understand me? I plan to be around for the next 100 years.
And then she shouted like that for about another 5 minutes.
Just like herpes, when you least expect it, I will be there. Take a good look at this face, America. Give me a close-up. Not that close. Get back, you asshole.
And then she kept yelling and yelling, and then...
This is the face of comedy.
And I really think she believes that. She really honestly believes that she is the face of comedy.
Well, but either way, that's not funny.
You get right. the last laugh, though, Kevin, because you will survive her. You will live to see her die sometime in the next few years.
If I live to the end of this week, I'll see that. And that's going to make me happy.
Who's ready for some football?
Yeah.
You watched a little bit last night, Ruff? See some of the
Bills? Watched all of it.
Yeah.
Watched all game?
Watched all a bit of it, yes.
It was so weird. My wife walked into the room. She's like, what are you watching? I said, football. And she said, it's not football time.
No, she's wrong.
Said,
it is.
That's where you're wrong. Last night was the beginning of football time, sweetheart, as the Hall of Fame game happened. And we're very excited about that. Let's find out if we're excited about our next guest. He is Eric Simon. He is the creator of the Fantasy Football Super Draft happening at the end of the month in Las Vegas. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
We should start by saying we're not sure. Those of us who are on the fence aren't sure how we feel about the fantasy football. Some of us are very upset, Ralph.
There's no fence. There's no fence.
There's no
Kevin.
Fence?
No, you're on the right side or the wrong side of this issue.
I don't care. But it
then you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. That's for sure.
It seems like a huge deal that's going on.
It is a huge deal.
All right.
That needs to be snuffed out.
Okay. Well, let's find out from Eric what's going on with the Fantasy Football Super Draft. Where are you coming from, Eric?
Well, I'm coming from New York. We are, you know, we've created a program with the entire city of Las Vegas, really, as our partner. So it's presented by Las Vegas. We've got virtually every major hotel in the city collaborating with us to produce a citywide event. And really, you know, it is about fantasy football, but at the same time, it's just about a great weekend party in Vegas. So you don't necessarily need to just be a fantasy football follower or participant to take advantage of all that the city has to offer.
There will be games by that weekend, right? I mean, it'll be August.
It'll be still the preseason.
Preseason, actually. Okay.
Yeah, so it's the NFL season starts on September 10th, which is a Thursday night.
Okay.
And we're, you know, fantasy football, for those who participate, know that you draft your team before the season begins.
Right.
Yeah, don't have a team, though, Eric. That's the thing. After you're done drafting, you still don't have a team. Yeah.
But you have players that you can follow with even more interest. Beyond what's happening on the actual field,
yes.
Now you've got a virtual field to keep track of.
Thank God we've got fantasy football, because we just don't have enough sort of selfish, self-important, shallow ways to stay connected to the internet.
Eric, the problem that Ralph has, if I could speak for him, is that he is a fan of a team, and sure. So it rubs him the wrong way to be a fan of other players on other teams as well.
A bunch of random players. Well, that you kind of string together and say, "Ooh, this is my team." No, it's not.
Well, I thought, you know, about 15 to 17 million people across the country, you know, see it a little bit differently.
Yeah. No, and, look, I hear you. And a lot of people watch America's Got Talent, too, Eric. Just saying, large numbers doesn't always equal right.
This is true. Teach their own, as they say, right?
So you're going to be in Vegas for one whole weekend, and then how do you do the draft? How does that work?
The draft is something you don't have to specifically be signed up with SuperDraft. Whether you use CBSSports.com or ESPN or Yahoo or any other service, we're just providing the environment for which people can come to the city, you know, where overtime is guaranteed, you know, being the city of Las Vegas, and
sure.
They can draft their team. So they could, as long as it's pre-organized by you know, the people who are doing it, they could do it in any way they want to. We're just giving them the platform.
Oh, so you guys don't run the draft?
No, not at all. We don't profess to be experts in this in any way.
Oh,
what we've done is basically to create a citywide party and to say, hey, by the way, we're going to create a draft room, one at the Hard Rock and another one at a location to be determined, where people can just come and do whatever they do right now. So we're not going to change the way people currently enjoy fantasy football.
I gotcha. So everybody that runs their own league still runs their own league. It's not a
big
central...
They're going to draft anyway, so you might as well do it in Vegas, is what you're saying.
I mean, where else? Right.
There's really no reason, no need for a reason to go to Vegas. But yeah, this is a good cover.
Yeah.
Why not?
Ultimately, it becomes the ideal guys or girl weekend with your best friends. And whether or not you do fantasy football, that's a bonus. But if not, basically $75 gets you the access to every single one of our VIP events throughout the weekend.
And these VIP events include everything from concerts to celebrities to just basically just Las Vegas-style parties, the type of stuff you normally can't get into.
Yeah, tailgate parties, pool parties at a couple of the properties, VIP events at the nightclubs. Our website, www.vegassuperdraft.com, has it all broken down, and we've got a bunch of celebrities participating as well. So they're going to be hosting the events like Molly Sims and Shannon Elizabeth, and we even have ESPN's fantasy football guru, Mr. Roto, they call him, Matthew Berry, who is going to be giving some last-minute advice to people who come in if they so choose.
I'm going to have a fantasy Vegas weekend at my house where I pretend that I'm partying with Shannon Elizabeth and Mr. Roto, and I'm Brad Pitt's going to be there. I'm going to draft him, and let's see, who else do I have? Oh, yeah, Carrot Top's going to be performing. It's going to be amazing,
wow.
But it's all going to be a fantasy. It's not really happening.
So can I pick my favorite celebrities, Ralph, and
absolutely
pretend they're your party?
Sure.
Oh, I see.
Adam West is dealing blackjack. And
guys, can't we all just get along?
Charlize Theron's going to be on the stripper pole. It's going to be an amazing fantasy because it's not real.
Now, Eric, are you a member of a fantasy football league as well, or do you just throw the party?
As a matter of fact, I am.
I've
been the commissioner of my own league for about 15 years.
All right.
Well, that tells us everything we need to know about you. All right.
I'm going to have a fantasy training camp, and all my fantasy players are going to fantasy work out, and I'll call fantasy plays. It's going to be very exciting this weekend.
Eric, the website that we have is LasVegasFantasySuperDraft.com, but I believe you gave out a different one a moment ago.
It all goes to the same place, LasVegasFantasySuperDraft.com, or in a more condensed version, VegasSuperDraft.com.
Okay. Or TotalFingBS.com. You can also go there.
Eric Assayman, creator of the Fantasy Football Superdraft, thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin DeBeat Show today.
My pleasure.
Ralph is here with the Show Biz Beat. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning, and today is no exception. G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra, debuted at $56.2 million, making number one over the weekend.
How great was Rachel Nichols,
by the way?
Rachel Nichols.
She is diabolically hot. And Sienna Miller, by the way, every bit as hot.
Same thing.
If not more so. Bean, what did you think of Rachel Nichols and G.I. Joe?
I can't watch a Rachel Nichols movie in the theater because I get arrested.
Oh, man.
I have to wait and get it on DVD so I can see it at home.
Yeah, good answer.
Julie and Julia in its debut made $20 million.
Lisa, what did you think of that?
I'm going this week.
Oh, okay. Oh,
you are just both of you. Just shut up.
You are not good fans,
oh,
either of you.
Oh, Rachel Nichols, I love Rachel Nichols so much. Yeah, not going to see her movie
in
the weekend. Joy Child, I can't wait to see it. Didn't go.
I made special plans to go with someone I love.
And then they canceled on you?
No. We couldn't go this weekend.
And they found out what you wanted them to go see?
They wouldn't let dogs in the theater?
Yeah.
G-Force was third on the list. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was fourth. Funny People was fifth. And The Ugly Truth, A Perfect Getaway, Aliens in the Attic, The Orphan, and 500 Days of Summer rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Another guy broke the television watching record.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Steve Misiura from London.
Hey.
He watched television for 84 straight hours.
Wow. How did he do it?
And they gave him the crown of the world record holder for watching TV.
Oh. Why don't you explain to people who are not familiar with this story why that's funny?
The previous official record was 72 hours straight of watching television. Steve broke it with 84 hours, and how he did it was a nonstop Friends marathon. Watched every single episode of Friends back to back.
God, that's torturous.
Just keep in mind that Dave, the King of Mexico, unofficially watched television for 92 and then 100 hours.
Not in the book.
Crushing both of these record holders.
It was some sort of bookkeeping error that we made.
That sure was. Twice.
He has no record, even though he beat this one already.
Twice we made the same problem for him.
It is absurd that the record is so low compared to what Dave has been able to do with ease.
I said, Dave, come on. You can do it.
We have to do it again.
Let's do it again.
No, I can't do it. I'm not young enough anymore.
To sit on your ass?
You're out of TV watching shape? I don't think I could do it. It's just I don't have the stamina anymore.
Would his eyeballs go bonkers?
It's not the freaking Tour de France. It's watching television.
What's he talking about?
I said, plus, now we got 5-hour energy in the office.
Right.
Performance-enhancing drugs we can give you. They don't even test your blood before you break these records.
But then there's an asterisk on his record, though, and he doesn't want that.
Oh, no. I'm not in shape enough anymore.
He beat that record twice.
Crushed that record.
And doesn't have it.
And was 40 pounds heavier when he did it.
That's true. Maybe that's what he means.
Dave, the King of Mexico.
That's right.
Period. Dave. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Dave, the King of Mexico.
Maybe that's not the shape he's in anymore. The pear shape.
And we almost talked him into it. Remember during wasn't it during the NCAA basketball tournament last spring? We almost talked him into going to Vegas and do it. We couldn't put it together. Maybe we'll shoot again for next year.
Trust me, he is not eager to repeat this task.
Won't do it if it's not high def. Won't do it.
High def
3D.
That's true.
He IMAX. Does need that. I need IMAX TV to watch.
We're like, Dave, there is no such thing as IMAX TV.
Well, when they make it, then I'll do it. They're coming out of the woodwork, people. All these nut loafs that are claiming they are the rightful parents of Michael Jackson's kids.
Oh.
This latest one is great. She is certifiable. She goes by the name Claire Elizabeth Fields Cruz. She has filed for guardian petition for the kids, claiming in the paperwork, I am the biological mother of Prince Michael Joe Jackson II and all of his siblings. I am married to Michael Jackson, but he is deceased.
What?
I am engaged to Prince's biological father. I am also the mother of one of Tom Cruise's kids. I say, let her have them.
She could be onto something.
I'm saying the kids should be raised in an atmosphere that they're used to. So find the nuttiest person you can and let them raise those kids.
Excellent.
In another interesting twist, you guys probably don't remember, but in 1968, there was a big screen musical called Oliver.
Okay.
Big motion picture. Won movie of the year, the Oscar, I believe, in 1968. Anyway, Mark Lester was the tow-headed little British kid who played Oliver Twist in that movie. He has now come forward saying he is the father of Michael Jackson's daughter.
Yes.
The 51-year-old Mark Lester says he gave Michael his semen 13 years ago.
Yeah.
In person?
I don't know how that exchange was made. And he says 11-year-old Paris looks just like his own teenage daughter, Harriet. So he definitely believes that he is the father.
Is this just a dash for the cash, basically?
I don't know. He wants to have a paternity test taken because he's worried about the welfare of all of Michael's children.
Yeah, sure.
Now, here's the thing. Mark is also their godfather.
Hmm. According to
Mark.
The Jacksons? Or
according
Mark?
To Mark.
Yeah, well.
So, maybe.
He's also their mom, according to him. So, I don't know.
Maybe Michael Jackson loved the movie Oliver and did get the guy to be the godfather or something. I don't know what the story is, but it just seems odd.
He Crazy. Definitely, Michael Jackson, had a thing for child stars, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Crazy.
I want some more, please. More children, please. That's what Mark Lester's saying now. It's very funny for those of you who have seen it.
What about the rest of us?
Not so much.
Okay, you're on my list.
No, I'm sorry.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angie Harmon from Law & Order is 37 degrees. What?
Huh?
She's cold.
She is. That's not going to be able to live long
Let's
like that.
Let's move out outside.
Wow. Years old. Michael Bivins of Belle Biv DeVoe and New Edition is 41. Antonio Banderas celebrates his 49th birthday today. And Rosanna Arquette, actress of the crazy Arquette family. She is 50. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Now on until 10, by the way. So if you can hear us right now, you're getting a bonus hour for the same low, low price, which is just losing brain cells by listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm a little bit nervous when Ralph steps in and says, guys, I need a couple of minutes. That usually doesn't bode well for either one of us, Kevin.
Well, yeah. After this break, you will be so thankful you have an extra hour of Kevin and Bean. Because I like to think of myself as the unofficial historian of the
Come
Kevin and Bean
now.
Show.
You're not bringing back some more old stuff that's embarrassing.
I like to think of myself as a radio archaeologist.
You're
who,
nothing of
like
the sort.
Indiana Jones goes into the most dangerous places in the world to find treasures to bring back for you, the listener.
Please tell me it's Bean. Please tell me it's Bean. Please
this
tell
is
me
a,
it's Bean.
This is some tape that I was that was uncovered. A fan of the show, and I say that loosely because if he was really a fan of the show, he would never let this tape see the light of day.
In air quotes.
Sent me this saying, this is some early Kevin and Bean from their early days on
I've
the radio.
I've heard this. This is fake.
And you might want to take a listen to see.
I haven't heard it, but it's probably Mark and Brian.
This
it probably just
fake.
Got us confused. A lot of people think we sound a lot alike.
You might want to hear what they were doing in the years before you joined the show, Ralph, this listener said. And
it's not
and
a
I
friend
listened
of ours.
To it, and I'd like to use this as proof, first of all, that one, yes, it's true. Virginia,
mm-hmm.
There was a time when Kevin and Bean not only lived in the same city
right.
when they did the radio show, but would travel together throughout these great United States.
Yeah, that
and
happened.
Do shows on location.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from a bit that was called Kevin and Bean's Summer Vacation.
Oh, this is fake. We never did that.
And this is apparently the world-renowned Cleveland show that they did when they went to Cleveland. Here's a little taste.
This is our big Cleveland show. We're not terribly happy to make that decision. We could stay in Chicago another day, or we could drive to Cleveland.
Right.
So we drove to Cleveland. We're here anyway.
Until we made a bad call.
What is this? What's happening? What's going on?
I don't know.
So we're going to discover the city.
Let's find out what's going on with that whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too. Or is that a scam?
So we'll be doing that. It's live from Cleveland. We figure about 2,800 miles away from Los Angeles. It's Kevin and Bean's summer vacation. About to get in a wreck with a tempo...
with Hawaii license plate BXA065. You've been spotted by the Kiss FM Super Sticker Potter.
Potter?
Potter.
All right, let's break. We're going to break. We'll come back live from Cleveland here in just a couple of minutes on 106.7.
That is K-Rod. Not us.
Yeah, it's Kevin being in a car.
That's not us.
In a car in Cleveland, talking about being in a car in Cleveland.
That wasn't us.
That sure was.
Oh, my God.
That's what used to pass for a radio show, boys and girls. Sitting in a car talking about being in a car in Cleveland.
I don't think we knew we were being mic'd.
I think you do. You kept saying it's live from Cleveland. Here we are.
I don't think that.
Well,
this is not
when they came back from the commercials, guess what they did? More, here we are in Cleveland in a car. It just doesn't end. It never stops. Here's more.
This is not.
In Cleveland, it's 106.7. K-Rock, it's Kevin and Bean summer vacation. We're 2,800 miles from home, and we're lost in Cleveland.
Right. But the beauty of the situation today, and granted, this isn't what we plan first thing in the morning. The beauty of the situation is we got a chance, essentially, to tour the Cleveland area.
Was that what we were doing, touring?
Yes, we were. And let me tell you, and I know that they need to have industry somewhere in this country, but it's not a pretty sight. Is it a miracle you can breathe with all the smokestacks downtown?
Cleveland is an industrial city. Would you like me to give you some background to this fine city that we're stuck in?
Do you have fun facts on Cleveland?
Now, I'm thinking, Bean's asking Kevin, do you have fun facts on Cleveland? And I was listening. I said, well, there's no way.
What are the chances I do?
Kevin will say anything because he hates it when Bean brings up all the fun facts about an inane topic like Cleveland.
This is not us.
So there's no way Kevin will follow up with fun facts on Cleveland, right?
This isn't us.
Wrong.
The city's beginnings were in 1796. There was a surveyor named Moses Cleveland.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where they got the name. How about that?
He picked the place here on Lake Erie at the mouth of the Cuyahoga River.
Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga.
You ever hear about the Cuyahoga River?
No.
That's the one a few years ago that caught fire. All the trash floating on the top of the river caught fire.
That's how he picked it. Apparently, most of his group were not that impressed with his choice.
Well, I think I agree with them.
Only three agreed to remain there to live, which is a good choice, and the rest of the malaria-ridden band returned home.
Seriously?
To Connecticut.
Wow.
So that's how it got started.
And you're saying from those humble beginnings sprang this great city by a great lake.
The great city by a great lake.
As we like to call it.
Wow.
What are you both laughing about, by the way, so much? What's so funny in any of that that is just tickling your ribs?
That's not us.
It is you.
I don't have.
This was a radio show that went out over the airwaves.
I don't recall that at all. Bean, do you recall that at all?
I don't think that is us.
That's
I do
not us.
Think that some of our listeners have constructed an elaborate hoax, and the joke's on you for falling for it, Ralph.
So after they come back
They're
from
creative.
Commercial yet again.
But it's not us.
We get Kevin and Bean now parked at a gas station talking about Cleveland.
At least we're not driving anymore.
You stopped driving, and now you're parked waiting for someone to pick you
this
up.
This is clearly not
for
us.
For something else. It's just sitting in Cleveland, more talking about sitting in Cleveland.
So I guess what we're doing is we're hanging out here at the gas station.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Modern Technology. You're listening to two of us, 2,800 miles away, standing on the corner at the Marathon Mini Mart waiting for a ride.
Right.
That's what you're doing.
That is not what we were doing, because I don't remember that at all.
This may come as a surprise to you guys, but just not everything you do is automatically radio material.
Yeah, that's clear. But that's not us. I mean,
so
if that were us, we wouldn't
have
done that.
There was a guy on a payphone at the gas station.
Okay.
And being the radio geniuses that you are, you decide you're going to interview the guy on the payphone. Because that would be interesting.
We wouldn't have done that. What are you doing?
Or would you?
Who you calling over there?
Hey, you got to say.
What's your name?
Willie.
Willie, who you calling?
Work.
Calling work. You calling in sick?
No.
Willie has a gold chain around his neck with his name on it.
Cool.
Hey, you want us to make that call for you?
No, that's all right.
Okay. All right. We're doing a little radio show for Los Angeles right now. All right, Willie's on the phone. That's fine.
Let's break for news and traffic.
I think we'd best do that while
we're
get out of here
time
live.
In Cleveland.
Well, we're kind of waiting for our ride, frankly. You think he'll show?
No.
Okay.
Well, the next stop's the Nut Hut.
That is not us.
So I'm saying the next time Kevin Bean calls some foreign country to try to get to the bottom of some story, and you go, oh, sweet Jesus, could it be any worse?
The answer is yes.
Although they could be in Cleveland talking to you from a gas station, talking about another guy who's on a phone.
I don't remember that happening. I don't think that was us.
Look, if I were you, I would have blotted it from my memory as well.
Okay. Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9:44.
Keep listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for your chance to win Depeche Mode tickets for their upcoming shows at the Hollywood Bowl and the Honda Center and backstage passes, too. How you like us now? Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on?
Well, every Monday morning, I like to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. I'll let you know what America's turning on to in the local theater. Here's what we have. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, the real American hero. $56.2 million this weekend.
I have a clip from that if you'd like, Ralph.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Has the kill switch. Get her.
That was the love scene, right?
Oh, it's good stuff right there.
It's a good scene.
I could watch Sienna Miller dress in black leather and put on sunglasses all day long.
Me too.
She's all right.
Not to mention Rachel Nichols as well.
Two. Tambien.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
She doesn't really need to pretend to like me anymore. She's the star of a huge, big summer action film, right?
You yeah, think? She didn't need to before.
She's it's way over. Past you.
No! No!
Julie and Julia was number two at the box office.
No! No!
$20 million. G-Force was third, then Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Funny People. $7.9 million made it number five. The Ugly Truth was sixth. A Perfect Getaway was seven. Aliens in the Attic, The Orphan, and 500 Days of Summer rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. I do like to give you a heads up when I'm aware of casting opportunities for people who would like to appear on television. I know we have a lot of aspiring actors and actresses out there in the listening audience.
And by that, you mean waiters and waitresses?
And also people who just have no discernible talent who would just like to be on television.
Sure.
And there's plenty of openings for that with reality TV. So I wanted to give you a heads up that the Game Show Network is currently casting season two of The Newlywed Game. If you've been newlywed and you'd like to be on this game, you have to be married 2 years or less. You can contact them at a website.
Which you forgot?
The Newlywed Game at embassyrow.com is the address you can email your information to. And they're looking for gay couples, too, by the way. Marriages must be legally recognized in one state, they say. So if you're a gay couple and you want to be on television, you can be in The Newlywed Game.
Yeah, you could do it.
Mike and Dwayne could go on there.
Yeah. Why the buzzer for that, Kevin? If you're a newlywed, you get a chance to go on that show and win lots of valuable prizes for a few
cash
minutes. It seems like it'd be worth it. Yeah,
exactly. Come on, Kevin. Why you got to hate on the newlyweds? Maybe this will be more up your alley. A&E has a documentary series they're looking for people to star in. People who are suffering from severe OCD.
Oh yeah, obsessed.
The show is called Obsessed. It documents the therapeutic process of everyday people who suffer from OCD and anxiety disorders and phobias and who are just basically honked up. Bean! And they get to go on the show and get 12 free weeks of cognitive behavioral therapy. Just in exchange for allowing them to film the process. Bean. So there's maybe Bean should go on the show.
I don't have the OCD, but there is a woman on the island that I see from time to time who from the wrist down or a little bit beyond the wrist down, her hands are just raw from all the washing, from just all the soap and water all the time. She washes her hands like every 10 minutes.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Let's get her on.
If you'd like to get more information, you can send an email to obsessed@TijuanaEnt, E-N-T, short for entertainment, TijuanaEnt.com. Those are the people who are looking for the OCD sufferers for Obsessed, the series.
I don't want to go anywhere near Tijuana. Get my head cut
Tijuana
off.
Entertainment, I think you have to be obsessed and you have to perform with a donkey.
for
them to hire
and you have
you.
To be a newlywed to get on
and
that show.
You have to be a newlywed and you have to be gay.
So confusing.
There's a lot going on in the world of television.
There's some gay guy who just got married who has OCD who's listening to the show right now and thinks that we've bugged his apartment.
This is just for me.
How do they know all this stuff about me?
Congratulations to Jay Chou.
Hey!
The Taiwanese singer and actor has been picked for the plum role of playing the Green Hornet sidekick, Kato, who was famously played by Bruce Lee before he became a major movie star. This was back in the 60s on the TV version of the Green Hornet.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Seth Rogen, of course, will be the Green Hornet, and now Jay Chou will be Kato. Right. Since I mentioned it this morning, I did a little research, and Jay Chou is a huge star in Asia.
Okay, oh. There you go.
He is, I guess, best compared to Justin Timberlake here in the States.
No kidding.
He is a monster music star, especially. He's known for writing and performing all of his own music, but he's also an actor and a very charismatic performer. And so this assures Green Hornet a healthy box office return in Asia because he is a wildly popular star.
Very
even
smart.
Perhaps more so than Young Lee from the G.I. Joe series, who
really?
Played Shadow.
Because you said they used to have
Storm
to close down airports when he was...
Yeah, this guy, even bigger.
Wow.
And I've seen photos of him, and he looks flimsy!
Really?
So I don't know if he's going to pull off the macho Kato role, but maybe they'll butch him up a little bit, and it'll all be good.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
I know. You don't think I know? I know.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rosanna Arquette is 50 years old today. Antonio Banderas, the Latin lover of a big silver screen, is 49 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Antonio. Best performance ever. Best Antonio performance ever.
Yours?
Puss no.
In Boots.
Oh. Puss in Boots in
yeah.
the Shrek movies.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
Entertaining in
mm-hmm.
that role. And Zorro. He was pretty good in Zorro, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Michael Bivins.
Yeah.
Who's better known as Biv in Belle, Biv, and DeVoe.
I don't even know what that is.
Come on, you know Belle, Biv, DeVoe.
So he was also in New Edition then also, right?
He was also in New Edition. Yeah. You're absolutely right. He's 41 years old today, and I've heard his girl is poison.
You've heard that?
That's what
yeah.
I've heard.
I've
about.
Got the long clip up if you wanted her.
Can we just have the hook?
Nope.
Do we have to listen to the entire 8-minute clip?
You get one
poison?
Or the other. You don't get both.
I just want that girl
Can't
is poison. That's all I want.
Can't have that.
I don't want the whole thing
don't
from the
it.
Beginning.
Don't have it.
All right. We're out of time.
All right.
Angie Harmon from Law &
yeah.
Order is 37 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. And thanks to everybody for listening to the Kevin Bean Show today. We'll be back tomorrow with... don't we have the manliest names in the world tomorrow
we do.
On the program?
We do.
We have that. We have Jeremy Piven in the studio.
That's a pretty
Sweet.
Manly name.
Sure. We have singles tickets as well.
Our big singles party.
Yep.
Spread them at the Bardot.
Yeah.
And we have Snuggies for dogs. Tomorrow.
Sorry, what happened?
That's tomorrow. This would be a good time to mention if, if you're a friend of the Kevin and Bean Show on Facebook, you can go ahead and go to Facebook.com/Kevin and Bean and you can enter that way. If you're unable to call in the morning or get through on the phones, that might be a good way to apply as well to be part of the singles party.
They asked me, my friend. I did not confirm them.
You
on
said
Facebook.
No?
Mm.
Oh.
Kevin and Bean Show? Yeah. I rejected them.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
Chad Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for some Kings of Leon? Also, we got Green Day, that awesome song from Michael Franti and Spearhead is coming up. Some Puddle of Mud, Amberlin, Radiohead, and more next after this on the world famous K-Rock.